This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up, guys.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four ass coming in the rear in standard 2x2 cover formation.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Relax, we got everything in this mug, man. Look at this: CD, CB, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS.
Mind if we hear some tunes?
Hey, out of work.
You got any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Paul Perillo.
It's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings, chestnuts, Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell? Go join the party, have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. Thanks a lot, Mr. De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip? That baby's ready to tin bar.
And Andy. And Andy?
I think it's very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
Andy Hart.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Some guy named Tom.
Machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
PFW in progress.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Oh, the weather outside.
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. It's Friday, and it's Tom and Fred, as it always is on Friday, as Tom likes to remind me when I ask, who's doing Friday? Yeah. It's always me and Tom.
Well, it's but the same thing last year.
Andy and Paul might be down, right?
They don't have any work to do.
They don't have any work to do?
Guess not.
We're not putting out a paper this week?
Apparently. I don't know. They're up there yapping away. They're coming down here.
They do talk a lot, don't they? All right. And then, I don't know, is Felger going to be around today, you think? Yeah. So it's a full show. It's a Friday. It has become quite a big show.
Rodney Harrison back at practice.
Really?
Yep.
That's great. Well, now is he still listed as doubtful?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think he'll play this week. Obviously, they're just trying to get him, but maybe Jacksonville.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good news. Rodney Harrison getting a little closer to getting back out in the field. It's Friday. Bill Belichick had his press conference today, and open locker room, 1:30.
1:30.
Hey!
Hey!
He's catching on. You know, week 15, 16, Fred, he starts to catch on.
You see the game last night?
Yeah.
The NFL production is starting to wear on me a little bit.
No, I like it, but it's what you said. He doesn't got the pipe.
Right.
That's the problem.
But I'll tell you what I really kind of am loving about the NFL Network games. You don't have to listen to the constant promotions for the game, for the other shows on CBS and Fox.
Or you know, ESPN. That's
right.
The same thing. And you don't have to listen to people in the booth. You can just watch the game.
Right, right. So that it's starting to wear on me, and it's starting to become...
If Gumbel was a better play-by-play guy, I'd say it's perfect.
Well, his pipes will never get better, but I think he's getting better at what he says.
But he doesn't know how to... Like, when there's a big play, he's monotone. You know what I mean? Like, his voice doesn't change.
Yeah, because he doesn't care, you know? But...
Maybe you should start gambling.
But I think it's such a welcome relief to watch that game and not have to hear about CSI this
it's just about the game.
You know, this coming show. And
no, you're right, Tom. When Alex Smith escaped and then threw the touchdown pass, like, and he escapes, and it's a touchdown.
right.
Like, that was a great play. That was a phenomenal play.
Collinsworth said it's one of the plays of the year.
Yeah. Right.
And you think you get a little bit more excited. Right. But I agree with you. It's like, when you're watching, like, say, a Monday Night Football game, and say it's a dog game, but both those teams have fans. You know what I mean? Like, it might be a dog game to us, but say the Raiders are on, okay? The Raiders have a ton of fans, and you want the announcers talking about the game and those teams.
Right.
That's why you're watching. And, like, I just don't get it, because you figure the only people watching those games are fans of the Raiders and the other team. So why are you bringing in somebody from Desperate Housewives?
Right.
Talk about the game. That's what I like what the NFL Network does. When they have the two teams on, they talk about those teams. It's about that game.
Right.
And I think that's the way to do it.
Yep. So kudos to NFL Network. We were a little harsh after week one, but I think they're getting better. They're starting to hit their stride. So, all right. Just thought we'd touch on that. Of course, showing on TV right now, Lamar Hunt died. And news coming out of the league office this morning is that before every game this Sunday, there'll be a moment of silence for Lamar Hunt. And I guess Goodell's figuring out some way to honor the guy. Because after all, he was one of the founding fathers of the AFL. And quite a great sportsman. Just loves sports.
Mm-hmm.
And actually has an apartment, or had an apartment, in Arrowhead Stadium that he lived in.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. He actually lived in Arrowhead Stadium when he was up in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, he's one of those old football guys.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have those anymore. They're businessmen now.
Right.
I mean, obviously, he made money, and I'm not saying that, but he truly loved football. You got to wonder if some of these newer guys, if they truly, truly love football, if they're just in it for the money.
Right, exactly. All right, so so that's it. Now, I wasn't available for Bill Belichick's press conference today. How did it go? Nothing new.
Houston is great at the goal line. They're 15-17 near the goal line.
Okay.
But as Jerome Solomon pointed out, he's from Houston now. They don't get there very often. you know, he said it's great to be good in the goal. But according to Belichick, only the Chargers are better near the goal line, which I imagine they've been quite a few more times.
So what does he consider the goal line? On the 1 yard line?
I think it's like goal to go situation.
Oh, goal to go. Okay.
Because they run that Denver kind of, they don't always run it straight ahead. They put that bootleg with Carr where he has the pass run pass option. So they are pretty tough to stop down there. But, you know, as Solomon said, you know, what if they don't get down there?
Then, right.
And they have a good kicker.
Okay.
According to Belichick.
All right. So we don't want to get in.
You don't want them kicking field goals, and you don't want them at the 1 yard line. Okay. Other than that, you're in good shape.
We're in good shape. Okay. Well, we'll see. I know Wilfork, Watson, Maroney, any updates on them?
Not updates. I would say Wilfork and Watson are out.
Wilfork
probably back would be my guess.
Okay.
I was guessing. I think Watson is definitely out. I mean, no one's seen him.
Yeah.
They've signed 10 tight ends. Yeah. I just...
And for all those people that think we're idiots, not that Charlie Casserly is any big expert on the Patriots, but he was on EEI this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Casserly, former GM of the Redskins, and he's been around Texans.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him, do you think the Patriots are good enough to have what it takes to win a Super Bowl? And he says, yeah, they could win it. There's no, like we've said, there's no dominant teams, but he goes, they have to have Maroney. So for all those people that think we're idiots, okay, Charlie Casserly, from a national perspective, agrees with us.
But I think probably 90% of the people agree with us. I think there's a few people who are, you know, want to show, like, Dylan hasn't lost it or whatever, but 700 yards last year. He's going to have 700 yards this year. Combined, that's not what he had 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So he's getting older. I guess the fans think they can, like, turn back the clock or something. It has nothing to do with Dylan, the way he runs.
Right.
He's just older.
Right.
What do you want him to do?
Right.
Casserly also said he likes Maurice Drew Jones.
Okay, well, there you go. And as promised, today we'll be devoting the entire show to Christmas gifts.
No, we won't.
Okay. But if someone has something,
emailers have spoken. They do not want
it. You know, screw all of you. No. If somebody has a question, we're here.
About what?
Football related.
What's the Christmas gift, though? I don't get it.
If someone has had trouble searching for a gift for dad or whatever, I might have some suggestions for them.
Okay, well, you could get one of those hoodies, but, oh, wait, they're not here.
They still don't have the hoodies?
No, can you imagine that?
You're kidding me.
A week before Christmas, they don't have the hoodies.
Well, they haven't had them since December
1st. I think someone should be fired over that.
Oh.
I really do. That is a mistake that cannot happen.
No.
That's the most popular thing that we sell, and they run out of them before Christmas? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, my God. All right.
So if you're out there looking for a hoodie, they're still not here.
You can find them with the Nintendo Wiis.
Yeah.
Nope. I think it's not for a lack of trying. I just think that they can't produce them fast enough.
Yeah, but at the time you order them, you got to order them.
You can't produce them in October knowing that at Christmas time everyone's going to want them?
You got to order enough knowing.
I'm just saying they're league-wide, and, I mean, we'd have them if we could get them.
Oh, I know if we could get them, but the fact is, I know the ordering, how that works. You got to order like 4 months out, but 4 months out they should have ordered enough to cover the Christmas
time. No, what if they ordered their allotment?
There's no allotment. You order as many as you want. What you don't want to do is order too many and have too many in stock. So that's the game you play.
But those are always going to go.
Right.
There's
never
too many.
You
can't sell enough of those. Like Gary's towing the company line back there. What are you going to do?
It's all right.
Hi. You've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
All right. Well, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Interesting sit-down I had yesterday, Tom, with a Hall of Famer from the New England Patriots, John Hanna.
Okay. That was really interesting.
Now, did he tell you you needed to lose weight?
Well, no, he's not that kind of guy. He could care less about those kind of things. But we talked about the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, yeah, I mean, you must have been, you know, really upset watching that game with all the trouble that the O-line had. And, you know, he said, well, I didn't actually watch the game, but I watched the highlights and I read all the analysis of it. And I said, yeah, I guess according to the Patriots, you know, they're having trouble with Taylor because they were moving him around and, you know, he was coming at all different directions and guys were getting confused. He says, you know what, that's a lot of baloney. He said, it's football. He says, you know, it's not that complicated when you talk about blocking. I mean, so what? It doesn't matter where he comes from. If your guy leaves and somebody else comes from that, you pick him up. If there's no one there, you drop back and help out. He said, it's not that complicated.
And Fred, I'm glad you brought that up, because I love listening to these guys who played 10, 15, 20 years ago, coaches and players,
right,
telling you how it's not brain surgery. Somewhere along the line, we started calling everybody a genius. Everyone's this,
right,
everyone's that. And there's only a couple of those guys. And and I don't know if any of them are coaching now. Like we say, Belichick got a lot of his stuff from Paul Brown.
Right.
I think he would admit he's the genius.
Well, even Steve Belichick said about his own son, genius. All he does is walk up and
right.
down the sideline.
And I think
now that's kidding a little bit.
But in today's
you know.
Football, I think that's gotten lost a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be so complicated. And here you have arguably the best player to ever play for this organization telling you how simple it really is. And I agree with them. They just got whooped.
Yeah.
They got whooped. Jason Taylor was picking up guys and moving them. He
right.
was running by them.
Right.
What's so complicated about that?
Right. And this is from, you know, arguably the greatest guard who ever played the game. And we were just specifically talking about O-line play.
Mm-hmm.
He said they just got beat.
I agree.
It's not that complicated.
Right.
You know? I mean, you have an area, and, you know, if you're supposed to pick up a guy and he leaves and somebody else comes in, you pick him up.
Right.
And if there's nobody there, you drop back and help out. You
right.
know, it's, you know, now, of course, it's not that simple. There are some things, but he said overall, it's just football. It's not that complicated.
But I think coaches today try to make it too complicated sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think they try to outsmart themselves. I'll give you an instance. Last night, 3rd and 1, they give it to Sean Alexander. He doesn't get it. 4th and 1, they give it to Mac Strong. No good. You're paying Sean Alexander all that money to be on the sidelines on 4th and 1. This
right.
is what you do. You line up. You give it to Sean Alexander. If you don't make it, put your defense out there. Don't try to get smart and hand it to the fullback and all that stuff. See, that's what I mean. I just think sometimes it's just simpler than the coaches make it out to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do you think let me put it this way. Do you think the Chargers would have given the ball to Lorenzo Neal or LaDainian Tomlinson?
Right.
I think it would be Tomlinson.
I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, there's just so much pressure, you know, like the offensive coordinator, you know, if he were to run Sean Alexander twice in a row, he's afraid someone's going to criticize him for not thinking.
And
know?
I think that
you
comes
know.
Into play with ESPN now, the NFL Network. See, when Hannah played, those things weren't as big as they are. Now they're dissecting plays. They're saying what this guy did wrong, what that guy did wrong, and they're making it out to be like it hasn't always been this way. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like all of a sudden we have this all these great things to show us what's going on, but it's always been just football.
Yeah, it's blocking, tackling, running, catching, throwing.
I mean, I always say what Joe Montana said. He said, you know, we had a lot of plays, but in a game, if 2 or 3 were working, we'd keep running the same plays until they stopped them.
Right.
If they never stopped them, we kept running them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – and Bill Walsh is a genius, and because he just knew if you couldn't stop something, why go to something else?
Right, right. Yes. So that whole aspect of football – I think some of these guys do overthink it
and
sometimes.
And on the offensive line, what Hannah said, I think is right, because it's basically, you know, you're either getting whooped or you're getting beaten or you're not.
Right.
And they got beat.
Right. Did you see Larry Allen last night?
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, he was out there moving around.
He hadn't played that well for Dallas in years.
Yeah, pushing people around. He
now,
looked all right.
Now, the one thing I should say is he had a bad ankle. And he's a huge, huge man.
Yeah.
And he had a bad ankle, and Parcells kind of forced him to play on it, and maybe it healed finally.
Yeah.
Because when you're 350, 360, and you're playing on a bum ankle, that's tough to move around, you know
yeah.
what I mean? So maybe he's finally healthy. But, man, I'll tell you, I've watched that guy throughout his career, and when he gets moving, those poor defensive backs don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Paul and Andy, that Gore is one of the top four or five running backs.
Boy, does he run hard.
He looks like Tomlinson.
He's like a little steamroller.
Yeah, he looks like LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, he's got that same kind of running style where you fall off his legs. You know, he gets the extra yards. He's a very good player.
And he's not afraid to just put his head down and just run you right over.
Right, and the thing about him, he was a, you know, a high recruit in Miami, but he tore both his knees up, and I think he was never fully healthy in college, and now I think he's actually fully healthy, and you're seeing the player that Miami thought they were getting way back when. But he's a very impressive football player.
All right. Well, we got
how about the Seahawks, though?
Oh,
talk
back
about
down
problems.
To 8-6 now. Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, they went out and spent all that money on receivers, and they didn't want to do anything about the offense. I mean, they should have just signed Hutchinson.
Man, Mike Holmgren looks like somebody farted on his pillow. on the sideline there, man. He just looks disgusted with the whole thing, you know?
I mean, they are not playing good football right now.
Nope. You know, and it's funny. You know, they're 8-6. San Francisco's 6-8.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's two games left for those guys.
And, one of the Seattle games is against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not they're sitting people at that point, we don't know, but you figure that's probably a loss.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Wow, so it's going to be interesting. I know Seattle, they just have to win one game to clinch it, but it's not a given.
No.
That would be one of the big upsets of all
time. Well, and
time.
I was telling Paul, before that game on ESPN, they were saying that Mike Nolan, if he doesn't finish strong, is in trouble. In trouble? What are you, nuts?
That's crazy.
The guy took over a team that was decimated. And he's got him in the playoff hunt in his second year. Now, granted, we all disagreed with the fourth and short call where he kicked a field goal against the Rams, and I think that kind of hurt his team a little bit. But I'll chalk that up to inexperience as a head coach. You know, he's only been a head coach for 2 years. He's only made one stupid mistake that I know of. I'm not going to hold that against him. But to be in trouble,
right.
The Niners could finish 8-8 in his second year.
Right.
I don't know what these owners are looking for anymore. I really don't.
No, that's crazy. He's done a great job with that team. They're playing well. webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Paul and Andy might be down, I don't know. Felger will be here around 1, so make sure you get your ammunition ready to shoot him down with whatever he says. What's he been saying lately? Is he trying to be controversial this
year? I haven't really been hearing him much
this
of him.
Week.
I haven't heard much of him, to be honest with you. I haven't seen
they were talking Daisuke yesterday.
Yeah, it's all baseball around here,
oh,
like,
really?
You know, because it's 6 months away and we have to talk about the Red Sox rotation like they're going to beat the Yankees anyway.
Tom, have you been on his show when he's had a guest?
You mean like call in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you allowed to ask any questions?
Yeah, it's kind of like they'll point to me and I'll say, yeah, I have one, and then they'll go, you're next. So
because
yeah.
He talked to Lucchino for 10 minutes and Andy Hart was there and didn't say a word.
Well, Andy Hart's not Tom Casale, you know what I mean? He's not. He just sits there and collects a paycheck.
And Tom sits there and doesn't collect the paycheck.
Exactly. That's the difference.
All right, webradio@patriots.com.
No, but Fred, we really should, you know, dissect that Red Sox bullpen. Because,
oh, I know.
You know, in December, it's so important.
Yeah. Well, they're all in cahoots. You know, that's the way it is. What else? What else should we get to before we go to, go to emails?
I don't think we really have too much. I mean, Brady and his girlfriend broke up.
Now, that's interesting. That was on the crawl this morning, I guess, on ESPN or one of these shows. My wife was like, oh, say it isn't so. And I'm like, what? And she's like, Brady and Bridget Moynihan broke up. I said, it's about time. He shouldn't be hooked up with anyone. He should be out there. But in all seriousness.
But maybe he loves her.
Well, in all seriousness. Could that be affecting him a little bit?
Maybe. I mean, I think, like, we were just talking about this before the show. People look at Tom Brady. Now, he can get any woman he wants. We know that.
Right.
But maybe he actually is in love with Bridget Moynihan. And
right.
That's the one he wants.
Right.
And maybe she doesn't want him. You
right.
don't know how these things.
You don't
I mean,
know
he's
how
just
it
a
is.
Human being like the rest of us.
I mean, we talked earlier in the season about Belichick with all, you know, the things that are going on. He's human. You know, that stuff has to affect him. And I'm sure it distracted him a little bit.
These things weigh on you. We were talking about, I don't know if you were here. Yeah, I think you were, about the Chargers look like they're having fun when they're playing and stuff. How many, you know, other than Merriman, you know, the steroid thing, how many personal type things have you heard coming out of San Diego? You
right.
know what I mean? Like, I think sometimes if you have 3-4 of these things, they kind of wear on teams a
yeah.
little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I know the Patriots don't talk about it with the media. But even Belichick, despite some rumors, is human.
Right.
And
every team has these personal issues. We don't hear about them. But when they go public, now it creates even – it's even worse for the person.
Right.
You know, if Belichick had these problems and no one else knew about it except the parties involved,
right,
it would
be
one thing. But once it goes public, it takes on a whole new dimension. Same thing with Brady. I mean, his situation with a movie star is a very public thing. And now everyone knows that he's no longer with her. He's still going to see movies of her on TV, you know, and it's a reminder. And we don't know. Maybe he could care less. Maybe he broke up with her. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, it's something to
think
about.
And I'll give you an example. Four out of the top four receivers who have dropped passes this year, Torrey Holt and Steve Smith are in the top four. But who's the one that we always talk
about?
Terrell Owens.
Right.
And it's his fault because he's always opening his mouth. But I'm just saying, in Dallas, you always got to answer questions why T.O.'s dropping passes, but no one's asking why Steve Smith and Torrey Holt are dropping passes.
Right,
so
right.
You're right. It becomes more pressure when the media's all over it. It becomes a circus.
That's right. When you ask for that spotlight, you have to be willing to, take what it comes with it. So, all right, what do you got, Gary? He's writing something down now? Oh, I thought there was somebody on the phone. Webradio at patriots.com.
You haven't given out the number.
What's that?
You haven't given out the number.
That's 508-543-7482. That's 508-543-7482. And webradio at patriots.com is email address. A lot of emails here. Let's get to some. See, I knew you were reading something.
No, actually, he was writing something.
Oh. Well, Gary has a great idea. Who should Brady's new girl be? If you were...
Jessica Biel.
Jessica Biel? What is she, 50 years old?
50? That's a good choice, isn't it, Gary?
Jackpot. Yeah.
Jessica Biel is ridiculous.
How old is she?
She's 50. She's like probably 25.
Not Jessica Tandy.
No, I'm thinking of the one that was in Flashdance or whatever.
Yeah, that's who it should be. That's
Jennifer Beals.
Oh, that's Jennifer Beals.
That's the one I came up with.
I don't even know who Jessica Biel is then.
Well... You're missing
I find
out.
It funny that Bridget and Tom were good until they saw your show. So maybe they got it for one of you guys.
No, he should have Jessica Alba.
Yeah, that's another good one. But either one of those would be excellent choices.
Yeah.
Excellent choices.
Yeah. So, or any Playboy model.
Mm-hmm.
I got Maria Menounos.
Who's that?
She's on one of those entertainment shows. She's a local girl.
How about Eva Longoria?
No,
she's engaged.
She's engaged.
Oh, she's engaged?
I'm sure that
she'll
be divorced in a year, so he can have her if he wants.
Well, I don't think he should be with anyone. I think he should explore a little bit. You know, find out what it's like to be an NFL star quarterback out there.
Yeah, but the other problem...
Just be careful.
Yeah, I was going to say the problem with someone like that is, one, he's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful with who you get hooked up, who gets their hooks in you.
Right.
So it's a lot easier to date when you're Tom Brady because everybody wants you, but on the other hand, it's also a lot tougher to date.
You're right. They're with great power comes great responsibility, mm-hmm. as Spider-Man always says. All right, what? You're shaking your head at me?
It's tough, he's the man.
I mean, you had the same problem when you were a trainer.
I know.
You know what it's like. You've got to be careful.
I've actually talked to Tom about that. We were very similar in our conquest of women.
Right, except at the time you were wearing the little nylon shorts with the sequin tank top.
I'm not Andy.
I know. I said Richard Simmons. How's Andy doing? Is he still getting smaller?
Oh, he hasn't been in the gym in months.
Really? Gary's got an announcement.
Paul and Andy are coming down because they're intrigued by the new subject.
Oh, jeez.
1982, Jessica Biel.
Nah.
Did you see the movie Stealth?
Stealth? No.
How about Summer Catch? It was about Cape Cod baseball. You must have seen that.
Nope.
You're from the Cape.
It doesn't mean
she's
saw
hot,
Summer Catch. Is she?
She's ridiculously hot.
Better than Jessica Alba?
How about, no. I don't know.
Jessica Alba is really hot.
Blade 3?
I saw that.
She was the girl in Blade 3, Jessica Biel.
All right. I like those Blade movies.
I do not.
No?
No.
I thought they were good. All right, let's get to some football, shall we?
And Grillers are on the way, too.
Oh, Grillers are on the way. Good. Save me a hot dog. All right. Tim writes in. He says, what, if anything, do they gain by letting Doug Gabriel go? What harm would it have been to keep him on the squad for the rest of the year? Is there that much value in freeing up a spot for a practice squad wide receiver? And the second question is, if it's that hard to find wide receivers that fit into the Patriot system, why would they not pay some money to keep the ones that do? That's a good point. Now that Gabriel is on the radios, do you think he'll be telling his side of the story? Has anything new come out of that whole situation?
I haven't heard anything yet. I've been waiting. But since it's Friday, let's put this whole thing to rest now. There's something more to the story that we don't know. I mean, we've said it since the beginning. Something happened.
Oh, I'm telling you right now. Here's the story.
No, I know. You said the route running.
He that was the last straw.
Right, you said last straw, but there was other straws.
Oh, he just wouldn't get with the program.
Right. So it was definitely, I mean, Bill said it was on the field. It wasn't. I mean, yeah, it was.
It's everything.
It's everything. But
yeah.
Because the emailer says, you know, if it was just a couple of small things here and there, they wouldn't cut him.
Right.
They would at least keep him around, you know,
I mean,
in case
Kevin
they
Fox
have an injury.
Fumbled. Corey Dillon's fumble. You know, we speculated that time that Gabriel fumbled and they took him out. We didn't see him again for the rest of that game. That why would they do that? You know, everyone. But he's done other things in practice.
It's like building a
it's building up.
You know, steps. It's one,
yeah.
Two, three, four.
He created a short leash for himself, and finally, when he ran the wrong route in Miami, that was it.
Yeah.
That's it.
The one thing about,
you're doing more harm for us than good.
The one thing about speaking out is, I know he's friends with Moss and Porter and those guys, but he seems like a laid back kind of guy. Like, he kind of just strolls around.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if he's got it in him to really be...
Like Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, kind of vindictive. Maybe he'll say something, like the reason why.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to... And I may be wrong about this. This is just a pure observation. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that's going to go out of his way to trash people. Because
right.
I don't think he even cares.
Yeah, he's not a talker.
No.
He's not a talker. So, but, hey, he's back with the Raiders. Hey, the Raiders made out pretty good. They got himself a draft
and
pick.
He may
and they
start
get the guy
week.
Back. Yeah.
He may start. Moss is hurt.
Wow.
Can you imagine? What if he starts and scores three touchdowns?
Well, good for him. They're just running him on fly routes, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, so now what happens? Willie Andrews might get some more reps back at receiver. He was doing that earlier in the season.
That's what you want out of a playoff contender.
Well, I don't know. They need a nice little possession receiver. Maybe Chad Jackson. Maybe this is the week, Tom. Maybe this is it.
There's 16 games, Fred.
Right.
If you say it every week, at some point, maybe you'll be right.
But the thing is, with this guy, you may not be. That's
yeah.
the thing. Bill from Malden says, lost in the shuffle of Dolphin Gate. Well, back, we didn't really finish that last email. Is it that hard to find somebody to fit into the Patriots wide receiver system? And if that's the case, why do they let guys like Branch and Givens go when they have already found that?
What are they doing different than any other team?
I think they're
running outs. They're running ins.
Well,
give me a break.
I think that this team is very demanding of its offense because Brady can take advantage of smart players.
Right, but I also think they're very demanding of players in general.
Yes.
To me, that's the bigger issue. It's not so much can he run an in or can he run an out. Well, if you want to play football here, you have to know coming in, it's Belichick's way or the highway.
Right.
And you get with the program, the second you walk into that locker room, or you're gone.
Right. And guys like Harrison and Brady, and they're going to make sure. If you're not working out, they're going to be on you.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't think that you're giving 100%, you're going to hear it. Not necessarily just from Belichick, you're going to hear it from the veterans. That's the way this team is set up. And as we talk about guys not giving 100%, Paul and Andy are here.
Jessica Alba by a mild. I don't even know what the discussion was, but Jessica Alba.
I said Jessica Biel, too.
Who should be Tom Brady's next girlfriend?
You guys like
Jessica
Biel?
She would be
Biel?
A good candidate. No, Jessica Biel, most overrated on earth.
You know who's overrated? Andy Hart.
Have you ever seen Jessica Biel? She went to Tufts University. I ran into her at health services.
Yeah, and she probably wouldn't walk
she
across
like
the,
crap.
The corridor to spit in your face.
She wouldn't, but the more relevant issue is, she wouldn't even rank in the top 1,000 hot girls I've seen in my life.
Well, that's because she was in college.
Yeah, I mean,
at
judging
Tufts.
From this picture, right. I would.
So the one girl
Andy.
That he actually sees in everyday life that's not like all glammed up, he doesn't think is all that
have
attractive.
You ever
totally not taking into consideration that every other
right.
girl he's comparing
plus,
her to.
Have you
I
ever
also
seen
don't think
Jessica Simpson
hot.
When she was white trash? She wasn't that hot.
She's got big boobs. It gets you by.
I think
Jessica Alba is a great choice.
I think Jessica Alba is
smoking.
Is definitely hotter than Jessica Biel, but I like Jessica Biel.
That was just the first one that came into my mind.
I said Eva Longoria, but I guess she's
marrying Tony Parker.
Yeah. Did you answer the email about the $20,000 fantasy question?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, someone's playing fantasy football for $20,000.
And they're asking you for advice, and I said, that's a lot of pressure,
Tom. But I'll tell you, though,
Number one seed.
If I'm giving advice to Tom Brady.
Yeah, for 500. This is 20 grand.
I really think that he should go the Drew Bledsoe way, is get a nice girl. Don't get a movie star.
Yeah, those never work.
There's girls you sleep with, and then there's girls you marry.
Wow, Fred.
You know?
What are you in, 1952?
Well, that's...
I'm with Fred.
There's too many complications. You know, you've got the money. Just have someone that's going to take care
of
you.
But where's he going to find this girl?
I understand what he's saying, Tom. I'm just a little taken aback by the fact that he's actually saying it on the air.
No, but where does he get that girl? That's the problem.
He could always try the internet.
You're a friend. No,
he could always try the internet.
Friend.
That's a nice source.
Whatever.
To me, then there's the worry that it's just somebody looking for money and to be with
Tom
Brady.
Well, that's what I said. He's got to be very careful.
Right. No, he does. It's a tough...
Unless he has a fallback like Drew, some girl he dated in college and whatever.
Drew was lucky because long before he was anybody, he had already known him.
Right.
And he had Paul as a backup.
Right. And now when
and he always knew he always knew I would be around if he needed me.
And now when he's nobody again, he still has her.
You know, it is tough though, being a guy like Tom Brady. You can't.
Fred knows.
You got to have your... Well, I'm saying Tom knows from his personal training.
I said, I said, Tom and I, we sit down all the time and talk about our sexual conquest. You know, they're in the same ballpark.
You just got to be careful. So, anyway, guys, you got anything to...
Harrison was back at practice.
Yes.
Did the idiot tell you?
Yes.
The idiot. Ronnie Harrison was back. He posted it up immediately.
Hey, idiot.
I was banging a 19-year-old blonde girl's...
It's good news,
That's great news.
Oh, is Kyle there? Sorry, idiot.
He's still doubtful, though.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't expect to see him this week, but the fact that he's close enough to be back out
in
the field.
I was thinking maybe Jackson.
Well, I think just his presence in the locker room on the practice field
is good.
Like we
talked about
yesterday. It's a good thing.
Somebody to slap somebody.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Although, is he going to catch any passes or block anyone? Well, if he's not, then he's irrelevant for
certainly,
me on game
it's
day.
Certainly better to have him than not have him. I think we can all agree on that, even Tom.
No, I'm just saying, though, this Sunday, once the game starts, if he's not on the field, you know, it's great to have him in the locker room and all, but they need someone to catch some passes, get open and block and all that stuff.
I agree.
Okay, Bill from Malden, lost in the shuffle of Dolphin Gate and Doug Gabriel was one of the few semi-bright spots of Sunday's game, the running game. I know that they had no big plays or earth-shattering numbers, but considering how aggressive the Dolphins front seven were playing, I thought that Dylan and company did an okay job. If the passing game could have gotten anything going, they might have had more of a chance in that game. I don't know how many times Dylan asked out of the game, but I saw some hard-nosed running out there when he played. Let's give a little credit to a guy who has been dumped on a lot this year by you guys and myself included.
No, we gave him credit. He had a couple of nice runs, and then after the game, the Dolphins said they were about as worried as Corey Dillon as I was.
Right.
I think
they
Dillon
had no
was.
Fear.
I think Dillon was as good as he can be.
Yeah.
On
exactly right.
Yes.
Certainly was not part of the problem.
Paul actually was right again when he said the Dolphins were saying, if you want to run Corey Dillon all day, we're more than happy to let you go ahead because we don't think that he can beat us. And he did that one run especially where Goodman had him on the edge and he got around him for I think it was like
17-yard
gain.
Yep.
Right. That was a nice run.
Yep. But that's not how they're going to win. I mean, they had Corey Dillon last year against Denver. We keep going back to that game, and Denver didn't care.
And Corey Dillon didn't run badly in that Denver game
either.
No,
he didn't.
It was all about Tom Brady as long as –
they didn't respect Corey Dillon. See,
that's my point. And
if they don't respect the guy, then they don't care.
The game plan for Miami was we need to do whatever we can to disrupt Tom Brady and get him uncomfortable because if we don't do that, he will beat us. So if that means allowing a few 17-yard runs here or there to Corey Dillon, so be it.
Right.
We need to sell out to stop Tom Brady. That's what they did. That's what they tried. Now, that's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
Flustering Tom Brady is a lot easier to say and talk about than it is to accomplish, and they were able to accomplish it. Most teams don't.
I'm talking about that Dolphins game. I was telling Tom, I had a chance to sit down with John Hanna yesterday.
Did you?
And we were talking about the game, and I said we were talking about the
was he shopping Christmas shopping too?
Oh, I'm sure he is. But we're talking about the troubles that the O-line was having, and saying how the Patriots were saying they were bringing Jason Taylor from different places, and guys were getting a little confused. And he goes, you know what? That's a lot of baloney. Says it's just blocking. It's not that.
Well, that's what we were talking about. How many times there were some times where guys came free. The safety there, Jeremiah Bell came, flying up the chute a couple of times unblocked. But more often than not, the plays that I saw Jason Taylor, he was beating the guy that was supposed to block him.
Right.
And that's not a confusion thing. That's an execution thing. That's losing a one-on-one battle.
Yep. So
I agree with Hoggy on that one.
Sure. Guy knows a little bit about a little bit.
Sure.
Passing around pictures here. Who's that?
Jessica Biel. It's a side shot.
Another
Biel
Jessica
boob.
Biel?
It's the girl that Andy doesn't think is hot.
Boob. Let me see.
Well,
let me
she
see.
Looks very skinny there, though.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't think Jessica Alba's skinny?
I like Jessica Alba.
Well, I think
Alba.
Jessica Alba's skinny,
more athletic.
Too.
All right.
See, I don't like the skinny model type. I like more athletic, you know?
I'm with you.
I like them all.
No problem with Jessica Alba, that's for sure.
I don't mind a little junk in the trunk.
I don't know what that means.
Jesus.
I take it it means that they have a big ass.
Yes.
Mark with a C from New Hampshire. Two things. One, tickets are still available for the Andrew Dice Clay show for New Year's. Make sure to tell Tom. Tom has got... That's a good picture. Gary is just...
He never liked
dead
Dice.
Set on... No, that's... Nah.
He never liked Dice. Andy, do you like Dice?
I did.
P.S. Tom is God. I never liked him. Two, do you think Lawrence Maroney is playing against Houston Sunday?
Yes.
We think he
Why?
Is.
I'm just guessing. I don't think Watson and Wilfork will play. I think that...
Yeah, I don't think they'll play.
I think Maroney will play. I don't have any information. It's just a guess.
Let's see. David Cohen says, first time I've listened to your show, and I'm sure it won't be the last. I'm in Manchester, England, and the message I have for all of you is no matter what is thrown at us, we will prevail and win another crown. Get your chins off the floor and believe in Brady.
Well, I believe in Brady. It's the other guys I'm having problems with. I know. I don't have any problem with Tom Brady.
Well, I think that...
you put Tom Brady on the Chargers, and they're not 10-2.
I'm with
they're
David.
They're 12-0.
I'm with David, but if they don't play well this week, then I might,
okay,
throw,
now let's,
I might be throwing
let's,
my hands
let's
up.
Let's look at this for a minute, Fred. Yeah. Lions, Texans. Quarterback, probably even maybe a little edge to the Texans, you think?
I'd give the edge to the Texans.
Okay,
yeah.
Offensive lines, both are crap. Receivers, Texans.
Right.
Running backs, both garbage because right. Jones. Right. Oh, no, Jones played.
Yeah,
so, okay, running back will go to the Lions.
Yep.
Defenses both suck. So it's not really that much. It's pretty much the same game.
Right, it's the
I'm
same
saying.
Game, but the Patriots, if they don't turn the ball over three times like they did in the Lions, it could be a different game. What I'm saying is, and you agree, if the Patriots play well,
yeah.
They should have killed the Lions.
But I'm just saying, the Lions had a lot of open receivers in that game. You know, if Johnson and Molds, they
yeah.
get it going, it's you never know.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that the Lions receivers are pretty good.
No, they're not.
No. Mike Berry's a pretty good player now.
They had a safety
had a,
and a backup quarterback.
Playing.
They had Roy Williams, a safety,
Fred,
and a backup
I'm
quarterback.
Save
Roy
you
Williams
I'm
a pretty good
I'm going to
yes,
save you from this
it.
Argument.
That's
I'm
the only receiver they
argument,
have.
Okay. If you match up Roy Williams and Andre Johnson, Johnson's better, and that's the best receiver and the only receiver that the Lions had. Now you got Eric Moulds as your number two. The Lions have nobody close to Moulds, so they have a much better receiving core.
Okay.
Now, the offensive game planning and everything, that might be different. We'll have to see
All right.
how they do it.
I got to say, that griller I just ate was pretty good.
What kind of griller was it?
Just the hot dog.
Yeah, the hot dogs are good. I like
well,
the hot dogs.
I really haven't liked them in the
oh,
past.
I know
but
you
that
had six
good.
In the last
they serve,
week.
They serve them with the buns are too big, though.
Yeah, they don't fill out the buns.
Right.
They need a little more junk in the trunk
just
there.
These smaller buns, that's all.
I like small buns.
Fred likes big. Yeah, you just said you like big buns. Now you don't like big buns.
Speaking of the grillers.
Jeez,
you
got a little hot dog and big buns.
The gift of meat for Christmas. Don't underestimate it. You can, you know, order them and give them to people.
I'll be sure to tell my wife that.
Yeah.
Don't ever underestimate the gift of meat.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
More and more, he leads us astray.
Chantel writes in. Actually, it's not Chantel. It's Phuket. Oh, I don't know. Who the hell is this?
Phuket.
Chantel Phillip? Is that your name?
In Phuket.
Anyway, he says, I heard that Fred guy say last Tuesday that Friday's show would be about Christmas gift advice. Well, maybe you guys can help me locate two things that I really need, baby seal eyelids and panda bear testicles. Ever since that punk – is that supposed to be a joke? Is he, like, not being politically correct in that? Maybe? I don't know. He says, ever since that punk Jets coach stole my online account number, I've had trouble getting what I need from my regular supplier.
I have no idea what any of that means.
Kyle, you smoke pot. Do you understand it?
UPF guide – UPFW guys have heard me say that we don't collect talent, we build teams. Well, to hell with that.
We might need some talent, boys and girls.
What is he talking about? I win by collecting things like pickled unicorns.
The whole thing's a joke, Fred. Continue reading.
Oh, okay. If you PFW guys can help me out, that Jets guy will be too busy shooting orange fire water to make the playoffs, and maybe I can get us to win out the rest of the season and go deep into the playoffs. Make my Christmas wish come true, and I'll also send you an early copy of a book I've been working on, A History of the Black Arts in the NFL. Thanks, and a Merry Phuket Christmas.
I don't
Signed,
know what
Coach Bill Belichick.
I don't know what the hell that means.
That's one of the most bizarre emails we've ever received.
You're not talking into the mic.
That's one of the most bizarre emails we've ever received.
You're in trouble when you're getting critiqued by Fred.
Yeah, I'm having issues with the headphones, too. But
boy.
The Chargers sign Oz Hakeem.
They were supposed
Wiggle
to.
Wiggle McCord.
Yeah.
Wiggle
McCord.
Yeah,
but it just keeps going in and out. I didn't know we had such a high-tech system. We had to wiggle the
wiggle
cord.
It just a little bit.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. Do you guys have the line
wiggle
on
it.
Rocky versus Mason Dixon? I was looking at placing a substantial bet to try to make up for that Rocky versus Clubber Lang debacle in Rocky III. Hindsight is 20/20, I guess. By the way, doesn't Clubber Lang remind you guys of that guy, Mr. T, from the A-Team?
I lost a boatload on Clubber Lang. I didn't think there was any way Rocky could beat that badass.
I was hoping to get Tom's advice on this. He seems to be very knowledgeable on the gambling scene. I hate that the Patriots season has reduced the show to this vacuums and Christmas present advice. We'll talk about whatever you want.
Have we gotten any advice, though? Because I could use some gift ideas.
And well, I need a new vacuum.
You do?
I told you. Remember, I
oh,
was making fun of you.
You still haven't gotten one? Jeez, must be getting a little dirty. You got still, a dog and no vacuum.
No, it still works a little bit, like enough to, but
sucks
it's not.
Sucks a little?
Yeah.
Doesn't suck a lot?
It's not getting the full effect. We need a new one, like in the next week or so.
Got a week of sucking left?
That's the whole thing, is the suction. I mean, you know, without that, it's.
Well,
what good is it?
Then you try to.
It does not suck.
You're not sucking me into this. Next email.
All right.
You're not sucking me.
Harry is unfortunately still in Bagram, Afghanistan.
Nice.
Don't lose hope yet. The Pats.
Of course, he does not suck.
The Pats will go to the playoffs while many other teams' seasons are already over. The big threats in the AFC were Indy, Denver,
desperate.
And San Diego. Indy and Denver
Bill
have
Belichick.
Been slipping just as bad as the Pats, and I believe we would be at least even with either of those two teams in the playoffs. Every upper-tier team in the NFL has shown weaknesses at some point, with the exception of San Diego, who look unbeatable. Don't quit on these guys yet. When Chad Jackson was drafted, I got fairly excited that the Patriots grabbed a wide receiver that high in the draft. After the Branch situation, it seemed that pick was even more important. I do not know anything about Jackson prior to the draft and still don't. Please share any insight you may have on his abilities. Is he slower than expected?
Yes.
Runs bad routes? Unable to work with the playbook? What have you seen from him?
Is there
any reason to think he might become a bigger part of the picture?
Well, yeah. Oh, no. Yes to all the others and no to the final question.
And is it the 70s? I mean, are the Steelers, the 70s Steelers in here playing? I mean, I don't get the point where, well, all the good teams have weaknesses. No kidding. It's been that way for a decade almost.
Right.
Just when the Patriots were on top, were the same emails coming in? Well, let's not count our chickens before they're hatched because we still have weaknesses. Listen, we all watch football. Paul watches it. I watch it. Andy watches it. Fred, you say you watch it. You watch the Chargers play, and you say, there's a team that looks like they can win the Super Bowl. You watch the Patriots play. You don't say the same thing. That's the bottom line. Now, as Paul and Andy have said, maybe 3 weeks from now we'll be saying, well, you know what? This team's really starting to play well, and now they're hitting their stride. That might happen. But right now it's not.
And it doesn't mean that you just give up hope and stop rooting for the team or whatever. Things can change, things can happen, and, you know, even if nothing changes, you're going to probably make the playoffs, barring a complete collapse. You're going to make the playoffs, and who knows, if nothing changes, you can still pull an upset.
You can
do things in the postseason that maybe you didn't do in the regular season. We're not here to take anyone's hope away, in other words.
Like just, all the guys on the Patriots injury report, the Patriots are day-to-day. Right?
Yeah, it's going to be
sure.
Hard. It's going to be hard, and I know the Steelers did it last year, but it's hard for any team to beat two of the best teams in football on the road on their way to the Super Bowl. Now, what happens? It can be done, but it's just difficult.
Sure. Let's see. Josh in Arlington, Virginia. One. How many times did Brian Gumbel call Frank Gore Al Gore last night before he finally realized he was doing it?
I heard at least one.
He has got
not
to
joking.
Not
no,
only the
no,
voice,
he corrected himself immediately.
But he cannot call the games correctly. Two,
he sucks.
What is the purpose of the bull ring on the upper part of some players' face mask? It seems that only line players have it, and I can't figure out why.
I always thought it was just to close down the opening to make it so not as much could get through.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think they try to get it as closed up as possible because they get a lot of fingers out of
the poked in the eye.
Well, the whole stuff. Face masks is to have the least amount of things in front of your face as possible while still protecting your face as much as possible.
Right.
And I think that's why you see, you know, some have a double line all the way across the top. Some have the bar down the middle. Some have the ring. Some have an extra bar on the bottom of the open. It's
right.
All, I think it's preference and taste. And for high school kids, some of them it's just to look cool. I know that because I was once one of them. Paul, they didn't have face masks when you played.
Did you have the horse collar?
No, but I did have
Paul
the cool
leather helmets.
The flap hanging off the cool back.
So when you had a touchdown run, it was flapping behind you.
I gotta tell you now. I mean, I wasn't running back.
You were running fast enough for it to flap.
Hell yeah!
I would have wanted to have one of those because those look cool. Those little flaps that hang off the bottom of the shoulder pads. Now, that would have been more appropriate, Andy, if you'd taken that shot at me. They didn't have that when I played high school football, and no one had that.
I don't know. They call you Leather Helmet Perillo, so.
I had the regular.
It's hard to attach a face mask to a leather helmet.
The regular quarterback kind of.
Single bar?
Double, like Brady's. Same thing. Brady's right behind you. Same kind of deal. That's what I had.
Three, what are the chances of Gaffney having a hugely productive revenge game against his former team this weekend?
None.
1%.
You don't want to humor him?
He's
asking to be humored.
What is that?
I never
understood that. What's that mean, revenge game? If the guy's got no talent, I mean, I want to have revenge against a lot of people, but I just can't do it. You know what I mean? I just don't get – because he played in Houston, he's going to have a big game against Houston. What does that mean?
I don't know.
It means Tom's going to get angry.
It's like last year when Heath Evans had a big game against Miami.
If you're Vince Young – if you're Randy Moss, that you're mad that the Cowboys didn't draft you, if you're Vince Young and you want to show Houston
something.
If you're that good,
right.
Then you can decide the outcome of a game. If you're Jabbar Gaffney, you're lucky if you get a pass thrown to you.
All right. All right, let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves. Come on, baby.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
Back here at PFW
what is
in
this?
Progress. Every time you ask. Come on, Charlie.
I thought I would set you up for your funniest joke ever.
All right, PFW in Progress.
That was web, funny.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio at Patriots.com.
The best are when, like, he says something, he just goes, oh, no, that wasn't right.
That dinner the
like, right
night.
Away.
Oh, jeez.
He doesn't even let you have a reaction. That didn't come out right.
Fred's jokes
up.
Are often like Chad Jackson. They have some skill and there's some basis for your, but they never come together and do anything.
He had one on the road the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah champs. He said something. Oh, that wasn't good.
He gave that Rodney Dangerfield lunch.
I screwed it up. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Webradio at Patriots.com.
Let's see. You got to look out for number one.
Right.
You don't step in number two.
Dwayne good. Writes in, some things I thought of last week while watching Jason Taylor make Matt Light call him uncle. One, I think I figured out where the Pats went wrong since the 04 Super Bowl from 01 to 03. The Pats weren't gun-shy about getting rid of veterans who weren't producing and giving rookies more time. Like Ted Washington turned into Vince Wilfork, Lawyer Malloy, Eugene Wilson. I realized that during the Super Bowl run, the Patriots were re-signing the vets on the roster rather than giving the money to the younger players, for instance. That hot dog.
You okay?
If the Pats gave a contract extension to Givens and Branch rather than Kevin Falk and Corey Dillon, it wouldn't bother me so much if they sucked with another team. Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, he says, two, also the Pats made most of free agency. During the Super Bowl run, they had a knack for getting contributions from the rookie class and from free agency. They haven't had an impact, not the complimentary Artrell Hawkins-type veteran come in since Corey Dillon, and that has a lot to do with their inconsistency on both sides of the ball. And
This is what we deal with every Friday.
He's talking about wait a minute.
Well,
he was saying a true impact free agent, not, you know, a guy like Artrell Hawkins who kind of came in and has made some contributions.
Said,
yeah. But
they haven't had an impact free agent like Artrell Hawkins since Corey Dillon.
Well, I don't want to be putting words in the email's mouth, but I think that was his point.
He's calling Hawkins a complimentary player.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
And he's talking about an impact.
And let's be honest, when they signed Eric Warfield, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
That's your solution to sign Eric Warfield? He's so good that he couldn't get on another team all year long. That's how good Eric Warfield is.
Hey,
they haven't signed anybody that has made any difference.
Did you happen to see that Jacksonville signed Jeremy Mincy, by the way?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Old friend. But the point being,
so you're going to be the captain on their team?
The last, yes, he's got captaincy in his future.
Stop drafting Florida players.
I think you go back to 03 before
that
you
Meyer
really
Belichick.
Get before you really get a true impact free agent class. You know, Rodney Harrison and Tyrone Poole and those guys. Because even 2004, the big acquisition was Dillon. That was a trade,
right?
So it's been a while since they've really hit big on free agency. Now, I know that they don't necessarily go after the highest profile guys, but they had been very successful, and they haven't been lately.
And let me ask you guys your opinion on this.
Axe.
Like, when Tampa Bay had a good defense and somebody would go and sign, like, maybe their second-tier defensive lineman or linebacker, I used to say to myself, well, that guy may be pretty good because their defense is so good, he maybe just can't get on the field. Going to Kansas City and signing guys like Monty Beisel and Eric Warfield that can't play with a terrible defense, to me, that's not a good way to rebuild your own defense.
Yeah, I think you're right, because not only are you looking at it as that they're missing on their evaluations with some of their guys, like maybe they thought so-and-so could play better than he actually did, so you missed an evaluation. But I think you're also got to question the mindset of going after, especially Kansas City. This is a defense for the better part of a decade. It's been
stop
brutal.
Anybody.
And you're going after a couple of guys that were marginal starters. I mean, Warfield was a regular starter, but
Faisal
wasn't even a starter.
We can coach him better.
That's what I'm saying, the mindset.
There might be some, I just think they've missed, flat out missed.
Yes.
And that's,
I agree.
You know, what's the difference between Roman Pfeiffer and Chad Brown? Well, Chad Brown stunk and Roman Pfeiffer was ridiculously good. You know, they're both veterans who'd had success earlier in their career in other places.
I don't kill him for the Chad Brown signing.
No, but I'm just saying,
Monty Faisal was a signing that they had designs on. Chad Brown they brought in.
Barry Gardner and Brian Cox. I just think they didn't sign guys that did anything.
But Barry Gardner carries Cox's jockstrap.
No, I know, but my point is they just missed. Whatever the reason, they just missed.
I do agree with
they
you.
They said
on that.
A guy can help us, and the guy couldn't even come close to helping you.
Wouldn't you say that their thought process? Wouldn't you say
that Freddie Roach
process?
Was that guy today when Bill goes, you know how you have instincts and you're one step ahead of the play? It's way better than being one step behind the play. Freddie Roach. was two steps in and Freddie Roach was still standing flat footed in the middle of the defense. Sorry, Freddie, if you're listening. You might be. Got nothing else going on.
Oh, God. Now he feels much better about the shot he just took at him. But I was just saying with the Chad Brown thing.
He just emailed in for Jessica Biel.
I think we could all agree.
He can't even pick hot chicks.
He's unbelievable. I just think we can all agree that they didn't sign Chad Brown to come in and play the way he had to play the first 6 weeks last year.
Well, they didn't sign Roman Pfeiffer. He was going to be a role player, and then everybody wrote the story. His role was to play every single defensive snap.
But I would say that his role that they signed him for was bigger than what they had signed Chad Brown for. They expected him to play. They expected Chad Brown to provide depth.
Now, I think Junior Seau was closer to Roman Pfeiffer until he got hurt.
Yeah.
Because he was signed to be a role player, and that role happened to be start every game and play all the time.
Yes, I agree.
Is there something going on in the Pats locker room? I wanted to ask this question in an email after the Colts game, but I've noticed that the Patriots seem distracted, as if their focus is lost. I'm not asking for any information. I just want to know if you guys see the same thing. I have a hunch that the loss of Willie McGinnis really did destabilize the locker room.
Well, Paul got into a fight with Teddy Bruschi.
Well, are they distracted?
It's kind of hard to. I mean, I
Roosevelt Colvin's doing UPS orders.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never covered another team. You know, I don't really have anything to gauge it by. Like, I haven't been in the Eagles locker room for 2 years and say how they prepare for.
Well, I mean, we were talking about this, Tom and I. We've seen things that we really kind of haven't seen.
Yep.
You know, it started like when Brady was whining about not having. You know, admitting that he might have been a little out of focus
whining.
When he lost Branch.
Interesting phrasing.
You know, public stuff coming out about Belichick's private life. You know, little things like that add up. These guys are human. Just recently, we find out that Brady broke up with Bridget Moynihan. Now, I don't know. Maybe he broke up with her and he couldn't care less. But maybe he's in love with her.
It's hard to believe that. He was with her for
years.
2 years, three years.
Yeah.
So it's hard to believe that ends and it does. I mean, he's a human being.
Right.
I know he, and in our eyes, he's Tom Brady, the big athlete.
That's what we were saying.
He's a human being who, even though he's Tom Brady and every girl in the world wants him, it still means he's probably a little broken up over the
years. That's my point. You know, we don't know, but these things, you know, and every team has things that happen personally to the players, but when they hit the media, it takes on a whole different, you know, perspective for the player that, you know, who's involved.
So, and when you lose.
So these are things that, you know, we're hearing
I agree with you, but
year.
I still think the bottom line is that Brady doesn't have receivers who can get open.
Right.
I mean, even if he was a little bummed about Bridget Moynihan, if Deion Branch was wide open down the sideline, I'm pretty sure he could hit
right.
him.
If they were 12-1 right now and he was throwing 300 yards a game, he'd be celebrating victories at some party with some hot chick that he was dancing with. And he'd say, Bridget who?
Yeah.
But when things are down, when you're not winning.
Well, now, hey, they're 9-4.
They are 9-4. That's true.
A lot of teams would like to be 9-4.
A lot of, not all of them, but a lot of them.
Let's see.
Just like the Bears are 10-2 with Rex Grossman as a quarterback.
And also, just like a lot of teams would like to be 15-17 in goal-to-goal situations.
Not San Diego.
Except for San Diego.
Yeah, not San
true.
Diego.
Mike writes in, I know today's supposed
Mike
to
Wright?
Today's supposed to be the Home Shopping Network Christmas show on PFW in progress, and I can only imagine that Fred is dressed up like Santa. And Andy,
well, he looks like him.
Andy is in his little
Etu. I'm disappointed in you, Fred. You know, you had that great outlook a couple of weeks ago. You're really going to attack this. And since then, I've seen you throw down like 10 hot dogs, 30 bags of chips, 3 subs with mayo dripping out of them. I'm disappointed.
You ate half of that sub, Tom.
But by the way,
only because you were full from your hot dogs.
But he thinks that 15 minutes at night on the pre-course is going to take care of all that.
Hey, let me interrupt you for a second. Tom, what was the over-under last night?
Bastards. It went under.
It stayed under?
Bastards. Yeah, 24-14. It was 40 and a half.
Oh, okay. Because if you had the under last night, you're sitting there the whole game and you're like, wow, this is the easiest bet I ever made. All of a sudden, it scored like 8 touchdowns in the last 3 minutes of the game.
No, it was 42, and it might have taken a huge dip late because of the weather, but the last I saw, 40 and a half.
8.
I think there were 4 touchdowns in the last 5 minutes.
Was it 24-7 final score?
2014.
24-14
again, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Matt Hasselbeck, you still think he's great?
I think he's good. I don't think he's great.
Has your opinion of him come down at all?
He's had a tough year.
He's been injured, too. He's just coming off a Super Bowl year.
I think he's been injured.
I think he's a very efficient quarterback for that system.
Yeah.
I think he's been injured, and he's also had the injuries around him.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, no question.
Apparently Hutchinson was worth that money. I mean, let's be honest. They can't run the ball, and Minnesota's running it on everybody. So,
yep. So Fred is dressed up like Santa. Andy is in his little elf outfit.
What's that supposed to mean?
And it's getting smaller, that outfit, by the way. Paul is dressed up like the Grinch. And Tom is over in the corner sipping on some spiked eggnog in his white sweater and green dickie a la Uncle Eddie at Christmas Vacation. So my apologies if this question is off topic, but I do have a football-related topic. In last night's game, Frank Gore entered the fourth quarter with 18 carries for 53 yards, and the Niners went 3 and out in 9 of 8 possessions. Gore ended the game with 27 carries for 147 yards. I think if Maroney is healthy and playing, the Patriots should take a page from the 49ers and just run the ball down the Texans' throat. Maroney could go 3 quarters with a 3-yard average, but he will most likely will have an opportunity to bust a big one or two. This would give the O-line some much-needed confidence as well as take some pressure off Brady and the receivers, which in turn could lead to a nice game for them all as well.
Well, we've been saying that all along.
All depends on what the score is.
Right. If you're down two touchdowns.
If it's 7-3 like it was last night, I'm all for continuing to run Maroney and Dillon or whatever.
Right.
But if you're down two scores, you can't do that.
Sure.
I love Maroney.
Like they were against the Colts, by the way, in the fourth quarter.
And I love Maroney, but at this point, he can't carry Gore's luggage to the airport. I mean, that guy's phenomenal.
P.S. Brian Gumbel is the absolute worst football announcer I've ever heard.
Not a lot of love for Brian Gumbel.
I actually thought about jabbing ice picks into my ears just so I wouldn't have to listen to him anymore.
I had the same discussion with my wife last night again. I hate him.
Doesn't get excited.
I hate him more so because he screws up so much. She hates him because she hates his voice. And to me, if you have a bad voice and you don't know the facts, then why are you there? Because I'll take the guy who makes some mistakes but sounds really cool, or the guy that knows everything and his voice is a little annoying.
Right.
But he doesn't do either.
Right. And Fred and I were saying it's too bad because the production is good. The NFL Network, all you do is watch the game. They talk about the teams on the field. There's no 30 people in the booth. There's no 10 sideline reporters. There's no Everyone Love Raymond is coming up next.
They have no shows.
I do like that. I do like the fact that they don't have all the nonsense going on in the booth.
Constant drop-ins. Ugh.
What I don't like with Gumbel is that it almost is like he's so arrogant that he seems like, I'm too good to have to get involved in this game. So I'm just going to sit there and say, Smith, to battle, first
Martin
down
for a couple.
You know, I'm too important. I used to host the Today Show. I mean, I don't have to get all excited. I mean, I could just go out there and speak monotone because I'm Brian Gumbel. Maybe that's not what he's thinking, but that's what it sounds like.
As Gary pointed out, even on that amazing play by Alex Smith, he didn't even get excited. I mean. The guy
not even a hint of it.
You know, rolled out and found Gore down the sideline. It was a great play.
It was enough that in the middle of the play, Chris Collinsworth said, wow.
Yeah.
That might be the greatest play this year.
Yes. Yeah. And the play-by-play guy never raised his level of enthusiasm one ounce.
How old is he?
Gumbel?
Looks like he's dying.
Mid-50s, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's been around for a long time. Well, he was the host of the NBC pregame show when I was a kid.
Well, that's why I was at, because I thought I heard he hadn't done a game in 30 years or something like that.
That's probably accurate.
And I was wondering how.
He went to news. He went to the Today Show.
What did you think?
That was classic. See,
I don't laugh at myself. He had weird voices. What did you think of the press box announcer in Miami?
Oh, he was
that guy.
He was funny.
Why was he funny?
Remember how he was just
I laid 4-1 last year that he'd be dead by this year.
And you lost.
So I lost.
He made it another year.
I'm going double or nothing for next year.
One of these days I'll be right.
No one will ever approach the Meadowlands guy, but that guy was good last week. I liked him.
Let's see. P.
Better
Neville,
than here.
I know I'm probably the least liked emailer, considering I emailed in yesterday in both Andy and Tom. Took shots at me.
That's what they do.
Who's this?
Anyway,
is this the guy from Ireland?
We don't know
yet. Anyway, I'm thinking of buying my father a football book for Christmas, and I would like to know what you think is a good read. P.S. Tom, if you must take shots at me, could you at least make it original? I'm sick of hearing the lame drunk jokes you and Andy make.
I didn't take a shot at you.
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You said, I forget what you said exactly, but you said something after Andy.
Oh,
something.
I said, oh, he probably is drunk. That's not really a shot. It was just a joke.
Right.
Andy's the one that called you a potato-eating drunk,
the
not
best
me.
Well, the best ever. Have you seen that gift book that's like $2,000 that's signed
that
by
make.
Everybody, every Super Bowl MVP?
Really?
And it has a chapter on every... It's big. It weighs like some ridiculous weight. It's thousands of dollars, but I think that would qualify as the best ever.
If they didn't turn it into a movie, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
So I'll go North Dallas 40. North Is that Dallas. A book?
Yeah, they did have a book.
Peter Chant, right?
Get that, because the movie's good.
I don't know. Sorry.
Get that Belichick.
You know what I'd get?
You know
a
what?
Subscription to Patriots Football Weekly, the gift that keeps on giving.
Coach. Yeah, you know what? Tell that potato-eating drunk that I have that book and I've never cracked it open. If he wants it, I'll send it to him.
Okay. But he has to send back a bottle of vodka or something.
the making of a coach,
and
right?
A potato.
By, David Halberstam.
Allison got it for me for Christmas last year. I haven't touched it, and I got no interest in reading it.
Fred, I have a question for you and maybe our listeners.
All right.
Have you ever heard of the website Price Grabbers?
I've heard of it, yes.
And?
I've never been to it.
Oh. Apparently my sister's having a little problem getting a Wii.
Some
guy from the UK already took her for $1,000 on her credit card. She's trying to find out if this second time around, if she could actually get a Wii for her thousands.
If they're that hard to get and someone's on the internet saying that I wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it.
Just wait.
It's not that important.
Because
after Christmas,
the retail of those is only supposed to be $250.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had reached this level. I thought they were available.
Is that the interactive one?
Yeah.
And let me tell you something.
That's pretty legit.
Where they came out with the warning 2 days later, don't let go of the controller because it will break your TV.
It's kind of a hot thing.
People called
right
to complain.
Now.
They were doing this and it would slip out of their hand and hit the TV and break the screen.
It's kind of a hot thing now, but the graphics are pretty juvenile.
Well, that's their thing.
Yeah.
Nintendo does not try to compete with the graphics and the processors and all that crap.
Down the road, that type of.
But their thing is, it's cool and it's inexpensive.
Right.
If you have the 600, go buy PlayStation. We'll tell you what store it's at. But ours is pretty cool. Everybody can do it. The friends can come over. They kind of market in a different way.
No,
they're
they
not
do.
For true gamers. They want people like Paul to go to his nephew's house and say, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Can I play with that little thingy?"
Nintendo is smart. I mean,
you know, that's a good.
They're not for true.
Not his nephew, the Wii.
I read a story about
people who actually have girlfriends.
Yeah.
No, but aside from the fact that Andy just had me out to be a pedophile, I think he's absolutely right because I can't tell you how many times I try to play those games and there's
five buttons.
Yeah. X, Y, Z, right, left, A, B, start.
Use this to spin. Use this to do that. And I end up losing like 85 to nothing. 5 seconds into the game, I don't even want to play anymore because I still have that juvenile competitive streak in me.
Didn't go away at BU when you lost 75 games?
No. That's why I got thrown out of a game from the dugout because I never accepted losing. That's the difference between you and I. You've accepted it.
No, I made my team a winner. That's the difference between you and I.
what winner? You were 4-4 every year. You won your first three games and lost the rest.
Oh, you're talking Toughs? I couldn't overcome the coaching.
Wow. Sounds like Terrell Owens.
I have in high school, I won GBL titles in baseball, just not in football.
I've always been a loser, so.
I won titles in both.
Anyway,
hit by pitches.
Sean
kept
writes
the average
in.
High.
Along for the ride like I was in football.
Sean has two points today. Let's see. First and foremost, here is a good luck wish for Andre Tippett. I believe today is the day.
Oh, it is?
For the final 15 to be announced.
He's got to get in. If he can get in that room, Borgie's got to come through.
Fred,
the first
if he goes,
time.
Do we go?
Yeah.
We can go to Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Fred, you realize if he goes, this is...
Not all of us.
I think this is...
Me and Tom.
I think this is over the
top.
We're
the ones that...
We all got to go to China. We all can't go to Tippett.
That's true.
I think this is... Make us go to China.
We can't go to Ohio.
I think this is legit, Fred. If he makes it in, I think he's going to He's going to talk about us on the podium. He's going to thank us.
If he doesn't, he's going to get a foot up his ass.
Well, the three of us. He said he's not so hot on you.
Well, maybe, but...
Why wouldn't he?
Because we had nothing to do with it.
Fred, of course we had nothing to do
with it. He wants to know what cycle you're on for you, juicing.
How many guys that get thanked actually had something to do with it?
I think... I would hope...
None of them, because the only guy who had anything to do with it is the guy standing there doing
the
thanking.
I got the number one guy who had nothing to do with it. God. That's the one they always think. Right. What do you have to do
now,
with anything?
Who does he pick to be his presenter?
PFW.
Not Bill Belichick. That's what I'm going with.
Maybe Robert Kraft. Could be good.
Thank you, Robert.
I would say, what's his name? Is he alive?
Raymond Berry.
Oh, no. The guy from
Chuck
his
Fairbanks?
High school coach or something that he loves.
Oh, yeah, he loved his high school
coach. That could be.
Is he still with us?
I don't know how old he was.
What's going on here? Was he out with Felger last night? Yeah, he's all... What's going on with you?
What do you mean?
You jumping all over the place?
I know. Somebody said yesterday you were talking a mile a minute. It was like
that's what
he does.
You're
all hopped up.
Again, I didn't know it was bad to bring energy to my job.
You've been hanging out with Felger too much. He's got you hooked.
I want to keep that on the down low.
So do we know a time for when they're going to make that announcement? Is there a time today that announcement is coming
out? I don't know, but we'll check on it.
Gary, can you check with PR on that?
Effort that.
Can you see?
Yeah, I'm sure they know.
I'm just going to say that, Fred.
It would be
They'll call Mike Reese and find out.
It would be a shame if guys like Michael Irvin and Terrell Davis get in before Tip.
I say he makes it. Let's stay positive.
I think Irvin and Tippett are pretty much in the same boat, in my opinion.
Oh, I thought for sure you'd get all mad with them.
I don't think it would be a crime if Irvin made it in over Tippett. I think if Terrell Davis made it over Tippett, it would be a crime.
When does Moose become eligible?
Should not make it in, period.
No.
Ever. Two, as for this weekend's game, look, fans, if we don't win impressive or if we, God forbid, lose this game, the season is over for me. I know the season is over for Tom next week if the Pats lay an egg in Jacksonville, but I believe they will come through this week and hope for the Vikings to beat the Jets so we could put the AFC East to bed.
Stop worrying.
I say Pats 34, Texans 7 this weekend. But if we win and the Jets win this weekend, I don't want to have my Christmas ruined by worrying about the AFC East on Christmas Eve. Once again, a loss or another Lions-type win on Sunday, I think all bets are off for the season.
And I can amend this. I was assuming they were going to win this week. If they lose this week, the season's over
Tom, that's what I was going to say. He was actually just assuming a win, and then the worry is the Jaguars are a decent team.
Yeah, we're all kind of assuming a reasonably comfortable win, too, I think. I'm talking about like maybe having a 27-7 lead and maybe Houston scores.
I want one of those games where Paul looks at me in the first quarter and says it's over.
That's what I want every week.
I haven't done that in a while.
No.
I think you want one of those.
I joked about it last week in a scoreless game when they didn't go for the fourth down and they punted from it, but. I haven't declared a game over in a while because I haven't really felt that confidence in a long time.
I think you want one of those games where that happens based on almost a play, just a physicality on a certain play, or just an overwhelming
or a deep pass Jackson or something.
Well, something where you just sort of say, okay.
Here's what you're looking for, depending on winning the coin toss or not. They just take the opening kick, they go right down, and then they have a three and out. Three and out, and then you get the punt, and you go
something
right down.
Like that.
And
O-line firing out.
Yeah. I think you're going to see some enthusiasm this week that maybe has been lacking. Definitely was lacking the last home game. They all talked about it. I think you're going to see a much more impressive all-around performance. Now, if we see any kind of sloppiness with turnovers, I mean.
Yep. Offensive line's going to have itchy chins this week. It's one of the repercussions from shaving when you've been like that and the chin strap gets itchy. Mm. Better watch for false starts there.
Andy, when he used to have his playoff beard in high school.
No question. Goatee every year.
All right. TG and NJ says, just some stupidity here to keep Fred from talking about Christmas. Perhaps we need something to keep Fred from talking altogether.
Do I notice a theme? Say it. Say something. Fred, you want to fire back.
Fred, you are. You must be getting. You're under fire.
I've never seen. Last year, the guy could do no wrong. Now fans want his head.
Because you got idiot over here.
We're on the radio. You're going to have to say which one.
I think everybody knows who he's talking about.
Every time I'm not here, badmouths me.
No, I never badmouth
you. Not just to the people listening, but to complete strangers at his wife's Christmas party.
See, that's not true. You know? That's not true.
According to Andy, he doesn't make fun of people behind their backs.
I defended you.
This is the same guy that came groveling to me.
Yes, it
after
is.
After a week.
Fred, you're so right.
He couldn't handle teaching kids.
Do you remember
this?
Do you remember the whole facade? Do you remember the whole facade that got dropped back that day,
oh, yeah.
Fred? Can I talk to Fred?
Here's Andy. Fred, yeah, I'm leaving.
No, that's
oh,
not.
Really?
First of all, you don't have it right.
When do you leave? 2 weeks. I got it.
2 weeks. 2 days.
2 weeks. He definitely doesn't remember the story.
You know. Oh, okay. Well, you know, have a nice career teaching. A week later, can I have my job back?
Paul, it's Andy.
And while I'm excited,
all right.
Thought we were going to talk football here.
Well, when was this?
But we forget about that.
This was during training camp, during the preseason.
When? No.
A couple years ago.
2 years ago.
I know. Well, I said, well, you know, you're going to have to learn how to write. That was one of the conditions of the job.
So why haven't I been fired?
I was going to say.
All right. We kid.
But Fred, of all the things that we've made fun of you over the years about, this one that he tells this story about that Christmas party.
It really seems
really
to have hit home.
Well, I mean, one of the.
But I defended you.
Yeah, one,
that's what you don't get.
One of the unspoken rules is.
We can bash
we
each
can
other,
it,
but no one else
no
can
one
bash
else
And
does.
What did I say? Do you even remember what I told you I said to the guy?
Yeah, look, I'm not.
I said, I'm not talking to you.
Not talking. The whole rest
he
of the show.
Only writes that for the paper, but he's a boss. He makes decisions on all kinds of important stuff. He goes to meetings.
Oh, yeah, he throws in the important stuff.
That's not how I heard it.
He throws in the important stuff.
Yeah.
You hear what you want to hear.
Yeah. Also, can we put Tiki Barber on the cover for Madden 08 since he won't be playing next year? Maybe that will break the Madden curse, although that might
mean, get run over by a bus.
That might mean whatever great plans he has for after football will fail miserably. Is there any correlation between the success of an offensive line in the length of their facial hair?
We'll find out this week.
Is Brady's play affected more by the loss of, and here's a multiple choice, A, Deion Branch, B, Bridget Moynihan, C, Lamar Hunt, or D, Peter Boyle?
Lamar Hunt.
Peter Boyle.
I say D because everyone loves Raymond.
But he wasn't Raymond.
I know, but he's on the show.
You see, that's why.
It's just relentless.
That's why when Fred just says idiot over here, everybody knows who he's talking about.
Will Denny Green's luck come through again and A, he keeps his job at Arizona, B, he lands the head coach job at Oakland, C, he lands the head coach job at Alabama, or D, he lands on the cover of Madden 08?
B, Oakland.
I don't know. If they win this week, I'm not going to pick against them again because I know where this is going. 7-9. We put in Matt Leiner. We're building.
I'm not saying, but I think we got.
We got a pretty good defense. I'm going to, you know, that's going to be him saying that. No, it's not going to be me. He'll be saying that, even if he gets fired.
And that's going to be him saying.
He'll show up at the combine, even if he doesn't have a job. Denny Green's up next.
Up next, Denny Green to talk to you about all the stupid draft picks that everybody else made.
Quick Denny Green story that you might like, Tom. We were waiting on our layover on a return from the combine a couple years ago in wherever Fred had us going through.
Iowa?
One of those cities. And
L.A.?
We sat down to have lunch, and just as we're sitting down, Denny Green went into the bathroom. We had our entire lunch, and that's when he came out of the bathroom. Must have been a magnificent deposit.
Wow. Talk about a bowl bender.
You guys are right about NFL Network game broadcasts. They just need to replace Gumbel. Who would you suggest? Who would you have do those games?
Who do you like as a play-by-play guy?
I think Al Michaels is the consummate professional,
yeah, but
he's got to
get
job.
Him.
See, it's hard to name people who don't have jobs.
Right. If they're that good, they're working.
See, yeah, I like Al Michaels.
Paul
but
said that Cricky sucks now. So.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh.
But back in the day, I used to love him when I was growing up.
They had Jim Nantz and Joe Buck. I think so arrogant that I can't stand listening to either one of them. I know they're very good at their jobs, but I just can't stand listening to them.
How about just a young guy who's good? Say we're not going to go the whole. We got to sign Madden for $5 million. Just do the best 100, audition him.
Jerry Trupiano, he's going to be.
This is the same guy.
Thanks, Joe.
This is the same guy that in preseason when we played the Redskins, when we looked up at the TV and saw that young kid,
yes,
and he goes,
yes.
"What do they have a high school kid to the game for?"
Was that me or Fred?
That is so true. Both of you guys, but you were really all over the guy.
Yeah, but I'd give him a chance.
What about Matt Vasgersian?
If he's good, fine. I would just like, I think they get too caught up in name recognition. How about just a guy that's good at it?
They definitely do. They definitely do, and guys like you fall for it because you think John Madden's good.
I never said John Madden was good. I said Michael Irvin was good.
Michael Irvin. Oh. Thanks, guys.
I was thinking, okay, we'll get the X-ray. Whoa, what happened? You know, go on in. You know.
Let's hope those bums down in the locker room can get their act together this weekend.
Should we bring this down a little? At some point now, do players start coming
That's
in
our team. I don't want to hear that kind of talk. Oh, hey, Matt Light, how are you?
Doug from Blackstone saw the Tuesday night show, and it was really good.
Nice.
Wow.
Fred is getting so thin, I thought it was Feed the Chicken, Feed the Children ad.
Fred?
Wow, Fred, you dropping some LBs?
No.
They got us confused again. You were thinking of that. It was Andy.
Had my checkbook out, and then
they don't
I
see
saw,
me. They're blinded by Paul's head.
I had my checkbook out, and then I saw your Stallone Capone sidekick, Tom. Could not figure out who he reminded me of. It must have been a fusion like the movie The Fly.
I don't know what
who
that
does
means.
Tom remind you of?
I look like the kid in Last American Virgin.
You're the only
I know the kid you're talking about.
A little bit. Back, yeah, a little
he's
bit.
A little bit of
I think Tom has a unique look. He doesn't remind me of anyone.
Okay. You
know? Some people say I look like Andy Pettit.
A little bit. Oh,
I,
little
you
bit.
Know, I can see that
I
a
see
little
that
bit.
More than the yep. guy I've never heard
my
of.
My mother came up with that one, so I figured
I
it must
think
be someone.
The Andy Pettit thing I can see.
Yeah, the nose.
The nose, the Italian nose.
I got to tell you, I hate Andy Pettit. So.
Just so you know, Tom, I'm Matt Damon, just if you're wondering.
Oh, okay.
A waiter in a Washington restaurant once said that.
Did you get his number?
Yeah, he's looking, to hit, now looking to hit you in the trunks, evidently.
Junk in the trunk?
Now for the Pats, they are looking bad, and there doesn't seem to be a solution on the horizon. I hate to be negative like that, but the last time I saw a beating like last week, there was a man, a club, and a seal. Ooh. Man, I'm just as opposed to that. Is there hope, or are we one and done? There is hope, Doug. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you can't say there's no hope. I don't have a lot of confidence at the moment, however.
Right, we'll see how the next 3 weeks goes. I mean, obviously, if they beat Houston and lose their final two games, no one's going to have any hope.
PJ writes
in. No, they will. They will.
PJ, I just have a few off topics to talk about. One, the show yesterday was hilarious. When Annie and Tom were analyzing the Cowboy-Falcons game, Fred, seemingly oblivious to what was going on, yelled to Mike, has anyone tasted Papagino's tuna?
That was a classic.
But see, that's good because that's why I do it.
No, it's because exactly what he said. You were completely oblivious.
Right. We set the line. We had the picks.
And
I kept saying, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Have you tasted that tuna? Crap. Crap.
Can you guys believe what's going that going into the final week, San Francisco should have a shot to win the West Division at 8-8. Seattle's 8-6, and next week they play San Diego. San Francisco is 6-8, and they have Arizona. Frisco beat Seattle twice, so they hold the tiebreaker. So the final week may have some importance to San Francisco. That is amazing. Amazing.
Well, let me ask you guys. Now, if San Diego wins this week, they don't have everything locked up, do they? If Baltimore and the Colts win. Because they would have two
losses. Only have a one-game lead over Baltimore,
so
and Baltimore beat them.
They can't sit LT and those guys against the Seahawks.
Seattle?
That would
nope.
be the next week if they have the tiebreakers. So
Unless Baltimore loses this week.
Right.
No, but even then it would be a two-game lead with two to play. They'd still have to win that game.
Right. So, so Seattle will be in trouble no matter what.
Three, hey, Tout, I am in a fantasy league called the Roto Bowl.
Yeah, this was it.
The winner receives $20,000. Which is a one-week paycheck with the way Fred pays you. I'm currently in third place after the first week of a playoff format that is three straight weeks of total points. I'm only 14 points behind and in striking distance. Here is my question. Who do I start at my last flex position, Michael Jenkins or Cedric Benson?
That's not even close. Cedric Benson.
Really?
Yeah, Michael Jenkins. He catches two passes a game, if you're lucky, twice a year.
What if Schaub plays?
I don't care. But by the way, all that's garbage. I don't see Michael Vick saying, okay, I'm going to play running back all of a sudden. I don't buy into that for 1 second. I think they're just doing it to confuse the Cowboys.
Okay.
Cedric Benson's been getting more carries lately. Plus, he's the goal line back. They're playing some joke.
Confuse my Cowboys.
They're some joke team they're playing. Who are they playing?
Who?
The Bears. They're playing some
Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
Tampa
some Bay. Joke team that you pitched for the Super Bowl.
Well, they suck. What do you want me to do? That's
Cedric
an easy
Benson.
One. Cedric Benson.
Keep reading.
I won't leave you out there, Fred. Here's one for you: LaDainian Tomlinson or Heath Evans.
Fred is taking a beat.
P.S. What are the chances?
Stop the fight!
Throw the damn towel.
You guys created this. What are the chances of getting you guys to pick the bowl games? Maybe you can have a prize for the winner, like a day off or something.
We could do that.
Well, we don't get days off.
Can't.
But...
I don't know about the day off.
We already got one in our back pocket from whatever it was a couple
Fred
weeks
said
ago.
We can use it in June.
Yeah, we can use it between the end of May and the beginning of June.
Dr. Z says, newsflash, Jessica Biel is gay. Another one of those celebs, Kevin Spacey, Ashley Judd, that has quietly been able to keep it mostly mum. I know some people
that know some people.
Even better. So we can have Jessica Alba and Jessica Biel.
Plus, we're talking about looks here. I mean, it doesn't
I don't know the sexual preference of anybody. How do you know I got news for you. How do you know Tom Brady isn't gay?
TJ says, girl for Brady?
We'll move on.
How about Susie Colbert?
How do you know?
I think she's available. Oh. Didn't she and Joe Namath break up?
Speaking of, I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Now, you're just saying that because of the look.
Oh, man. Scott from Pasco, Washington. Jessica Alba, Butterface. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
idiot.
I didn't know they drank there, too.
Yeah, why don't you get send us a picture of your wife?
He thinks that.
God almighty. What is wrong with you?
I'm trying to get shot.
He thinks that Brady should go after Sarah Silverman.
Well, there you go. Forget the picture.
What's his name? Because he's clearly blind.
Let's see. Andy in Sioux City. You guys are right on my feelings about the Patriots at this point. They are running out of time to look like they can actually do something in the playoffs. They need to look impressive this week. I will always be a fan, but that doesn't mean I can't be pissed at the way they're playing.
That's right.
I am still pissed about last week, but things are looking up because I received two PFWs yesterday, the Bears and Detroit issues. What the hell is wrong with the post office?
See, they're looking good. You know, won a couple games in a row.
I'd look out this coming week.
Just you might not want to go to the mailbox.
The next one you get's probably not going to be as positive.
Let's see. Brian in Colorado. What I like about your show is that you guys will read anything. Someone has been.
We're Ron Burgundy now?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Someone has been hitting the ether early. I thought Hunter Thompson was dead. I wonder whose ashes they shot out of the cannon out here. Did you see Keith Richards when the Stones last played in Foxborough?
Well, actually, I'm not even mad.
I think he's just proving that you'll read anything.
Right. I'm not being a wise ass with this question, but besides Brady, Maroney, and the D-line, what long-term positives do you see on this team?
Not too many.
Long-term positives.
Gostkowski seems to have shown me something of late.
Yeah.
I like him.
Samuel, maybe if they
I'm not sure that's long-term.
Well, I'm saying if they keep him in the mix.
You know what? That's a great question.
Well, I told you guys, I was looking at their roster compared to some other teams, and I was thinking to myself, where's all this talent?
The offensive line.
So it was Maroney, Brady, and the D-line that are out.
Yeah, the offensive line should be in that group, but they've been so darn inconsistent. I don't know if we can include
them. We always hear that Mankins is good, so maybe we'll throw him in there.
Once Maroney becomes the number one back, the O-line, they'll be fine.
Yeah, but will that just mask a problem?
No. It's because it all goes together. You know, they made a great thing about Detroit's O-line when Barry Sanders was there. Well, Barry Sanders had something to do with that.
I don't remember people making such a big deal about it. They were saying if he was behind Dallas, he would have been better than
That was always the argument.
He wouldn't have had to make the seven moves before he got to the line of scrimmage.
Well, there's a lot of guys that got some big contracts, like a guy like John Hand, and who were some other guys that went from Detroit and got big contracts because of Barry Sanders.
Detroit didn't have an awful line.
No.
A couple of those guys made the Pro Bowl, but still,
So what else? What other areas do you think are...
What are promising?
Well, in theory, you would the offensive line, but...
Well, I think they are.
Was I not listening again?
Yeah.
Well, I saw somebody from PR come in, so I thought a player was following, so I kind of turned.
You were doing what I did to Teddy Bruschi.
But I'm thinking they had a player ready, but the host of the show, Michael Felger's not here, so
I think O-line, running back, quarterback, D-line. Where they need to work on is linebacker, no doubt about it,
wide receiver,
secondary. You know,
I would have had more answers like
50% of the
ago.
Team is hopeful, 50% needs to rebuild.
And I probably would have put Ellis Hobbs in that category.
Hobbs, I would have put Chad Jackson in
Early
there.
Earlier in the year, Chad Jackson, without question.
Yeah.
Tom would have put Dave Thomas in there.
But we haven't really seen
Ray Ventura
enough of it yet.
Yeah. Well, has Thomas really done anything for you to say, well,
no,
this guy's
not
at all.
Not at all.
But I also... My high end for him, I don't think is as high as yours is.
But I
think
he
can be a good player.
I thought
he'd
be making more of a contribution.
I thought he would catch 20 balls this year.
Yeah, really easy. I thought he'd be part of that short passing game in the middle, and he hasn't done that. That's a little disturbing.
Maybe he'll get it this week. This week, nobody there to catch passes, but Dave Thomas is ready.
Email, I can tell by the
probably a shot at me.
Is Watson in that?
Hey, Felgie's here.
Yeah, I would say Watson.
Russell from the OC writes in.
Early.
Yeah, early.
Early.
He says, first babe Brady should chase down to bang a Scarlett Johansson. While Bridget's breasts were small and humble, Scarlett's are mountains. Continued
small
squeezing of them by
Tom
would undoubtedly improve his grip on the ball and make him less likely to fumble when blindsided.
Scarlett Johansson has mountains.
That will read anything.
I don't really like Scarlett Johansson.
That's a much better subject than the latest tight end signed to the practice squad. As far as the Chargers go, one good bone snap and LT ends their dominance, but quick. Did the Patriots have the chance to draft either of the Chargers receivers, Jackson or Parker? What round did Roy Mad Merriman go
in? I know that.
And what about Phillips or Castillo? How much is left on Jason Taylor's contract? He's one guy I'd like to see in a Patriots uniform. Like I've said many times, they best be ready to have a spending spree this offseason and say goodbye to all the deadwood. Thanks to the 49ers for helping to improve one of the Pats' draft positions. That's another good thing out of last night's loss by Seattle. Have a great weekend. All right.
Okay.
What was the Luis Castillo one?
He wants to know contracts. Could they be available?
He's in the second year.
Second year.
What round did Phillips or Castillo
first.
Go in?
First.
All those guys, Merriman.
Late first round pick.
That's when they had the two.
That's when he failed the steroid test, and they were the ones that bought the letter.
Merriman.
But he would have been available, but Merriman was not available.
Right.
Merriman was the Giants pick that year that they traded the year before. And then, so they got the two guys on steroids.
Yeah, because Castillo, I mean, admitted it.
So,
and but obviously Merriman got caught.
I don't know if you remember this, Tom, but we had a story in our paper defending Sean Merriman, and the way the writer wrote it, he said, and his teammates support him and believe whatever Merriman said, and then the next quote defending him was Luis Castillo.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, that was a classic.
All right.
Sounds believable to me.
I bought it.
Let's see. Dave writes in.
We all done now that Needle Nose is here?
Yeah.
Oh, Mike Felger's here. Hey. Well, it's only 1:30.
Yeah, but he's probably got players coming.
Does he?
So we can bolt.
Well, we can't just leave until the players come.
Okay.
The
locker room. Team coverage down here.
The locker room's open.
What's that?
What's wrong with your voice?
I got sick.
You were out last night.
No.
Uh-huh.
I don't do that anymore.
I see what's going on here.
I liked your interview with Larry Lucchino yesterday, Felgie, and talking about rooting against BC in a bar.
Yeah.
I'm always for that.
Absolutely. Not afraid.
Always for that.
Mike, what's your theme this week when it comes to the Patriots? You usually have something you're kind of
usually nice and
caught up on.
Just to refresh your memory, last week your theme was spread them out.
Yeah.
Spread them out.
Well, that's always
spread them out and get shut out.
Spread them out and get shut out.
Spread them out.
My theme was...
This ball that he threw had nothing to do with his sports.
It really
turnery.
Made strides like we thought we'd find out in Miami. And we found out, maybe not so much.
Okay.
That was my theme.
Well, I'm just remembering the first play of the game, that 4-yard,
spread them out.
That 4-yard completion over the middle of the Troy Brown. Spread them out, as if that's the secret to life.
And they never scored again.
Well, I never problem with the game plan. I thought the game plan was fine.
I thought the game plan was solid. It was the execution.
Yeah. Oh,
I totally agree with you on that.
Theme this week is since the boys are a little ornery.
Oh yeah,
you know, a little bit of attitude down here this week.
Yeah. Paul got into a fight with Teddy Bruschi yesterday.
Yeah, what happened with that?
Don't worry about it.
What he happened? Gets mad every person I tell.
Much
which
just
is a lot.
He's a little kid. Why do you got to listen to him?
He is.
As Fred, I'll quote
Eddie,
Fred earlier.
Eddie Haskell on steroids
that,
over there.
That idiot.
I don't know who that is.
Quoting Fred earlier.
Leave it to Beaver.
Oh. Okay.
You know this? You? I know that Kevin had to run back to the station and play the whole thing.
No, no, I don't have it. Tell me.
No, it's all right. I asked him. I definitely was wrong at the outset because I did not hear part of the answer, and I asked him. Basically a follow-up that made it a little repetitive. Now, of course, I don't think that he needed to off on
he
me.
Snapped
the way
he said, this guy just...
I tell you the same thing I just told him.
So
I'd answer your question the same way. You're trying to get me to call someone out. You're asking me questions a different way. And
that means there's somebody that he wants to call
out. He wants to call out.
And that's exactly what it means. And I'm not exaggerating the tone of
the
that's
QB
exactly
the
way
NAP.
It was. He was very defensive, got right in my face, and you know how I am. Instead of just walking away...
You could have pulled a Felger and just stood there with your hands
There's
up
no
like when
doubt,
Corey
Mike,
Dillon called
this
him
is
out.
A circle the wagon.
That's a different
tough story. Clint Eastwood over there.
This is a circle the
wagon. The two
wagon.
Of them, they both quote, had my back.
You know, this
we were at the other
wagon
end of the
week.
Locker room.
You know, these guys are getting together. It's us against the world. You know, that and that works for them.
But is it?
You know,
if Teddy Bruschi wants to call out another player, potentially.
See, I got
to
think.
And
the
offensive line has
no,
to leave
no,
before
no.
they say something they shouldn't say.
I got to think it was a little
you know
truth
that they've
to
talked
it.
Amongst themselves saying they're going to try to get us to divide us. They're going to try to create problems. We're not going to let that happen this week.
Great. Go out and get open, catch a pass, block somebody, and score a touchdown. Well, I don't care about all your crap like that, Fred. I really don't.
But that's what
they get tired of hearing those sob stories. Well, they do this. They have the closed door meetings. Go block somebody.
Every team does it. You know, it's us against the world. Our backs are against the wall.
Nothing
Nobody
sets
believes
him
in us except ourselves. You know, and unfortunately, the down point of the season has come in week 13 or 14.
Well, I'm
assuming that's what you think the down point is coming.
Right.
In week
they look great in week one. Didn't they? Against the Bills? Woo!
That's the problem, is you think that this
12
is the
seconds
down point.
In?
How do you know?
When did they peak?
What? Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard question to answer.
When Minnesota?
They played well against Minnesota.
I think Minnesota.
Cincinnati, maybe?
The high point
of
the season Cincinnati was to come.
But I think the high point of the season was Minnesota.
Probably Minnesota.
Even he's laughing at himself now. But then, you know it's bad when Fred's laughing at
this
himself.
This idiot over here.
But then what do they do the next week? It all mushes together.
I don't remember, but I mean they've had.
Have they put together a month this year?
No, I think
that they were build. I thought at the time they were building, and that Minnesota game was like the
emergence. That was the turning.
Like, so okay. Did they. That's when Bruce, I mean, when Brady, I'm telling you, he wanted to get Doug Gabriel a touchdown. That was his lone displeasure leaving that game, and now all of a sudden Doug Gabriel's not even here anymore.
I'll tell you what I am interested to see if Matt Light comes in and does his contracted, scheduled, required appearance on the Mike Felger Show for
Sounds
Patriots
like a
Friday.
Lawsuit coming.
That's well, it. No, it's not,
I think
no.
That's an interesting
and they could
point
use the money.
Because I got to tell you, Mike, and I know you guys all wrote about it. I know Andy wrote the same thing for his analysis. I saw yours, and I think Borgie wrote a little bit about it. I was very disappointed to see that they didn't show up and face the music. Those guys are generally very accountable, Copen and Light in particular. And I was very disappointed to see after a performance where they got shut out,
well,
that they
if,
had nothing to say after that game. Stephen Neal was the only guy who stood up and spoke.
What if they knew, and he even got cornered in, I don't think he meant, you know, I don't think he knew that the other guys didn't talk. We tried to talk to Stephen Neal on Wednesday and he was having none of it. What if the offensive line knew that Miami knew their line calls and,
it's got nothing
you know,
to do with anything.
The only way for them to answer the question is, why do we suck? Because they knew what was coming, and then
no,
they're calling out coaches.
No, but that's not true. So but Jason Taylor beat
Jason,
Matt Light.
Yeah, why
beat Benjamin
Taylor
Watson.
Picking him up and throwing him around like a rat?
Right.
I actually think the whole thing about I don't want to say anything that I'm going to regret was maybe more related to the receivers.
Yeah.
I think the receivers were the main problem on Sunday.
Or the offensive coordinator. Or whoever is in charge of making adjustments. I mean, maybe the line felt they were in a bad position.
I heard Bill talk about the adjustments that Brady made were as good, as sound as they've been in any game. Okay,
now, and you believe what Bill says at press conferences?
They're
a 94 football team.
I'll preface it with, I don't always take everything that Bill says.
I'm surprised you're still here, by the way.
Me too, a little bit.
But I find it hard to believe that Bill comes out and says that so definitively when he really was kind of unprompted. I mean, no one asked him about the line calls or anything like that. And then,
but what have we learned when
he
comes out?
He made a couple
on his
but
own.
He also made a couple of references to the protection being okay. He didn't say it was great, but he said the protection for the most part was okay.
So what?
What didn't he say? He didn't say the receivers were open
right.
And available.
Right.
So I got to think that was probably the number one problem with why the passing game couldn't get on track.
Well, but how's that going to change?
Felger mentioned the offensive coordinator.
No, but I'm saying that's why the offensive lineman didn't want to say something they would regret.
About yeah. Jackie McMullen, I don't know if you guys agree, said that Brady said that about the coaching because she believes that some of the veterans on this team don't respect the younger coaches on the staff and aren't listening to them.
I think that's absolutely a consideration. Absolutely. No question. And I think they felt that way about Mangini last year.
So what veterans, though? On offense? I would assume he'd be talking about offense because that's where he is. He's with Josh McDaniels all the time, so that would be the most obvious target, correct?
Yeah.
And Doug Gabriel would be the most likely offender since he's no longer here.
Right. And it wouldn't be Skarnecchia. I mean, they may not like him, but it's not a, you know.
No.
Definitely not a lack of respect then.
But anyway, Matt Light, you know, I mean, if they're really going Denver Broncos on us, he doesn't show up today, and he's sort of, it's kind of a quasi-paid kind of thing. He's got to do it.
Wait a minute. So what is quasi-paid?
He gets a gift certificate.
The tallies of Watertown
or whatever.
You get a
tie.
He gets a Tom Casale Memorial and the tallies of Hanover.
But you got to use them all separately.
You got to have seven different people go in.
No, it's some deal with the team, whatever. He's got. I mean, do you think players would show up and talk to me once a week, you know, if it was for free for no
Hell
reason?
Hell no.
Oh, thank you.
I do think that you might be right, though. It might be something. I'm not sure about this show in particular, but I think we might have heard the last of them.
And you know what?
For the rest of the year.
It's pretty cool if that's what they do.
Well,
I mean,
we know their coach doesn't
like
the media.
It's like Fred's little thing. they like to play the us against the world mentality. They think those things affect winning and losing, and I'm sure that they'll play it. And then they'll win this week because they're playing a dog crap team, and they're going to win no matter what. And they'll deceive themselves into thinking that's why.
Well, that's fine.
And that's what's going to happen.
Good.
They won't talk the rest of the season.
Let them. You think fans care?
No. I don't care either.
Fans would rather they not talk to us. Fans could give a flying bleep.
Well, if I'm a fan, before I worked here, all I cared about was whether or not they won on Sunday.
Right.
I don't care who's talking and who's not talking.
Right.
And I don't really care that much
I enjoy the guys who don't talk. Skin off my nose.
And you know what else? It kind of takes some pressure off. If you know, like 40 guys aren't going to talk, you're not worried about someone else talking to one of those 40 guys.
Beautiful.
Then you're missing something.
Well, I think
it takes a lot of pressure off.
I think as a professional journalist.
Don't care. Because they don't say anything.
I say that. The only thing you fear about is that if they're not talking, fine, but don't talk
don't
to somebody
talk to
else.
Someone else. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I worry about.
As long as it's an
about.
Even playing field,
right.
And I'm not being beat.
What is Felger getting that we're not getting? That would
right.
be the only thing that I'd be worried about.
Yeah,
right.
even
and
on,
I know with Felger, that's nothing.
Even, not an issue.
even on Felger's show, when he has a player interview, I change the channel.
Not an issue.
That or when you have Andy Hart on.
They don't say. It's no disrespect to the players.
Right, they say the same thing every
They're
week.
All programmed to make sure they play it all close to the vest and come up with as many cliches as they can. That's what Bill wants, and they follow orders.
And if they do
they
say anything.
They follow orders or people die.
Yeah, right.
If they do say
Sound
anything,
like
they're asked to no longer be on the Felger show, and then they're put on IR with a shoulder injury and replaced by Ken Walter.
Oh, whoa.
I noticed that. It was the best part of your show was Josh Miller.
No question. Tremendous.
What happened with that?
He got hurt a lot earlier than they started reporting and hurt guys.
But you know,
Bill doesn't want to hear hurt punters on the
right.
radio.
Did Josh Miller ever say anything, though, that was...
Never.
No.
Never.
You can still be entertaining and...
But guys like Josh Miller are few and far between.
Yeah.
He was very interesting and entertaining to listen to. I think the majority of those interviews are not falling into that category.
You know, and I know that, you know, the NFL puts rookies through sort of a
indoctrination.
Yeah. But and we make fun of John Dennis because he had that little MediaWise company
Dennis.
For a while where the basis of it was to help people deal with the media. And so we had some pros as clients. But
I don't think
you should laugh at that.
We're laughing at John Dennis.
I think it's worth the weight in gold for a player to actually get some real sound schooling on how to handle the media.
I agree.
Because we look at it, we go, it's easy. Man, if you wanted to, you could have the media in the palm of your hand. Call them by the first name a couple times, take them aside, give them a little info that's meaningless, but makes it seem like...
So does our organization do that?
I don't know. But I'm just saying that... If I was a player and there was a proven course...
When was the last time I wrote something negative about Rodney Harrison?
If there was a proven teacher or course that you
could
take...
Because he owns me.
I would highly recommend it because it's not that hard to get the media in the palm of your hands. It really isn't.
So that would be a fair question. Do they do that? If not, why not?
Why not?
And I think they have done it in the past.
I think a lot of these players think they have all the answers.
Is it an issue
and they don't, they
with the lack
the
of communication between the coaching staff and the PR, sort of the divide there, where they're not necessarily on the same
I think it's a lot easier
page.
To play it the Patriot way, which is don't say anything. Don't try to outsmart the media. Just don't say anything. You can't get yourself in trouble. Because let's face it, a lot of these guys aren't.
Well, Fred, you know, different
exactly,
teams,
you know,
we like to think that this is the only way to do it. Other
right,
teams do
not.
It different ways and still win. This is what we know. And I would actually say if I were an owner and I wanted to go a certain way or not, I would go Belichick's way. I would. But that's, in the same breath,
too.
Acknowledging
I would too.
That the other way
my,
works
my
too.
My coaches
right.
wouldn't be talking. There's no reason for them to be talking.
Absolutely.
I'd be the only coach talking.
Yep.
And I would tell these guys that I wouldn't treat them like kids, but I would tell them, I'd say, look, you're not, no one really ever, you know,
I think for the most part,
by letting, you know,
Fred,
letting their heart out to the media.
On balance, nice guys and open guys don't do well in this league. On balance, some do, but I think that the majority of really true winners in this league are a-holes.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I do.
Boy, is he negative.
Well, give me some examples.
If you have success, you're an
A-hole. Oh, you mean
examples.
As a coach?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant players.
No. I'm talking about...
Oh, I think that the personality that's required to be a head coach in the NFL, you have to be neurotic.
Right.
You have to be a nut.
Be nuts, yes.
In some way, you're a nut.
Sometimes, yeah. Some good guys will get through and win being a good guy. Sometimes that happens, but I think mostly.
But isn't that in general just in big business, big money, big anything?
Yeah,
big
maybe.
Over the I throat. Think it breeds
yeah.
eccentricity.
I mean, remember how big a deal they made about that one guy whose factory burnt down and he paid for his employees?
Yeah,
it was like the story of the year because no one else in the world would ever do something like that. It's
Fire
the bottom
Steve,
line.
Or whatever his name is.
Where is he now? Living underneath the bridge? Asking me for change on the way to the convenience store?
And the funny thing is if that guy fell on hard times and asked any of them for money, they'd kick him in the face.
No, I think Mike's right about the coaching in NFL. It's you have to be a nut.
So Fred,
I just don't think there are that many nice open guys in general. So I think if there were as many
in the world,
no,
getting more negative by the minute.
In coaching, we're talking about coaching. This is why Fred calls you an idiot.
Eddie Haskell on steroids. So, are they done?
No. But I've said it that if they don't play well this weekend, even I have to throw my hands up.
Who thinks they're done? Anyone here?
They all.
What does done mean?
Done like dinner, like you know.
I think they're pretty done.
Done like not make playoffs, or done like not make Super Bowl.
Done
or?
Like AFC Championship game weekend, you can start to make other plans.
Oh, I'm already planning a party. I invited Paul.
They would go into the playoffs like Jacksonville did last year.
See, to me, for this team, what do you consider a successful season for this team in this era? I'd say an AFC title game.
I agree.
Yeah. With that coach, that quarterback, with the roster,
you got
to
be in that game.
If you're in that game,
in the mix.
You know, you can't really rip the season.
Right.
If you're not in that game.
Do you rip the season if it's like last year and you get knocked out in the divisional round?
Yes.
You rip them.
Yes.
Do you think they should be better than that?
Yes.
Or do you think that they didn't go about building the team well enough?
Bingo.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
either way, you rip them, right?
Yeah, but that's different. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm talking about the talent they have.
The talent that they have, they're not an AFC team.
I'm in the vast minority. I don't think they're underachieving.
Me neither.
I think they're
playing to their level.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I think they're a little bit fortunate, and because of all their past success, they've been able to win a couple of games that they haven't played very well in because they know how to win.
I agree with all
that. Case in point is Detroit.
Except they've underachieved as an organization. They underachieved starting at the end of last year.
No, I don't think they did a great job in the offseason. Some of that, I think, was 100% their fault, and some of it, I think, was unfortunate, with the branch situation being
unfortunate. They weren't willing to pay market for a good player. That's unfortunate.
I don't think they... Well,
unlucky.
Mike, he was under contract. Let's not dismiss that and brush it under the rug. They didn't think that the guy was going to take it to that level. Now, that's a miscalculation on their part.
Sure was.
But it's not exactly something that I would say, we need to kill them over this, because they didn't know he was going to hold out. They didn't know he was going to take it to that extent. They didn't know he was going to, set the market value for wide receivers.
Paul, they certainly missed out.
He was under a 5-year contract. Everyone knew the second week he was here the kid could play. They had plenty of time to take care of that before it got to that, and they didn't.
I would agree with that. I'm not holding them blameless. I don't do that.
No, I mean, and it obviously
not on this show. You don't.
It became a pissing match. Between
we do a lot
the
on this show, just so you know.
I know it's awesome.
Just between so you know, I don't do it on any of the shows that I'm on, except for when I'm with you, because there's got to be some balance.
You know, between
when
the
we're on Fox, I got to do something.
Between the agent and the organization, it became a match of egos. I really think that they thought that Givens, the player, would give in. Branch,
the player,
would give in.
I think had the Branch holdout gotten to the point where it did before Givens, I think they'd have re-signed Givens.
Yeah.
You guys are talking about one player, though. We just sat here a little while ago talking about all the free agent misses the last 2 years.
And that's
not just one
player. Well, bringing guys in
is
a draft miss.
And that's all the guys.
And that's the part of it that you have to hold them accountable.
What are the draft misses?
Chad Jackson, I'm calling a miss right now.
Well, Ellis Hobbs doesn't look like the next coming of Deion Sanders.
Is he a third rounder? I mean, I think
What's Asante Samuel?
Fourth rounder.
Okay.
I mean, he's overachieved for a draft position.
But he's also a fourth-year player.
But, I mean, you're not drafting number one corners in the third round, generally.
Are you guys giving up on Ellis Hobbs?
I'm not at all.
I'm just saying he seems to be playing worse this year than he was last year.
But he has the injury, too. The injury kind of disrupted his season.
I'm not giving up on him.
I don't think that's a miss at all as a draft pick.
I don't think the
draft. Well, why don't you go over last year's draft class and let me know who's making an impact.
I think Mankins is okay. Could get better.
I think Mankins is very good.
Who is their second rounder?
They didn't have one.
Okay.
Two-thirds.
Ellis Hobbs and
Cazier. Cazier has not played well this year.
Cazier, I would put in the bus category, on-field, off-field. There's a whole range of things with him what I understand.
By the way, can we get back to Mankins for a minute?
Sure.
Is he good because he's a is he a first-round pick good?
Well, he was the last pick of first round.
He was a first-round pick. That was where you picked in that round, so he's your first-round pick. He's forever labeled a first-round pick. If you draft a guard in the first round, do you think he should be a Pro Bowl guard?
Second year, no. It's reasonable to assume
Yeah, it's reasonable to expect that down the road. But
he's been a starter since day one.
Okay.
He started every game.
I just want to make sure he was first round value good.
But well, I mean, I would say he started every game, and I could count on one hand the amount of times I said, "Whoa, Logan Mankins, yeah, really bad on that play."
Okay,
I think Neal's better. He should be. I don't get why. Like individually, I still like all the players. The three interior players, I think, are all really good individual players. I just don't get why the line is so bad sometimes. Is it all the tackles? I mean,
well, they re-signed a left tackle who's not that good.
Who's middle of the road?
Hey, Matt, how are you?
hey, by the way, we're taking candidates for Brady's next girl. Who should he should be his next girlfriend?
Who should be his next girlfriend?
So far, Jessica Alba is the top candidate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of pull you think you should be able to command.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would think you'd be able to command pretty much anything you want.
You go to the Maxim Hot 100, and you start in the top five and pick from one of those.
And work your way back, yeah.
Josh says, if Brady is looking for something to take Bridget off his mind, I saw an interview with Jenna Jameson where she said she was a big fan of his work
that.
And that she hoped he was a fan of hers.
I'd go that way once, but not a relationship. That's a one-and-done kind of deal.
Plus, she's married, right?
I know. Oh, I don't care about
that.
She'd
never be, I know she'd never be unfaithful or anything. But.
I hear she's getting divorced.
Oh.
Shocker.
And when you say one and done, what exactly do you mean? Because with a porn star, that could mean different things.
I don't know what that would mean, other than the way I meant it.
A porn star would be so lost on me. She'd walk in the door and close the door. The over before it started.
Oh, you mean one. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, boy. All right.
See what happens when we.
So who was anyone that comes to mind?
I'm trying to think.
Next topic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think.
How about the linebackers? Where's the talent there? How about the secondary?
Well, while you're thinking, I'll read Mike's email. It says, I'm a little confused on your assessment of Chad Jackson. It is usually the norm that a rookie wide receiver has very little impact in the field his first year. Add to that the fact that Jackson has had a lingering hamstring problem that is a tough injury to get over for a receiver. So my question is, why is he a bum now? Is there more that you guys see that us fans do not see or hear about that have made you guys throw him under the bus?
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. I wish he would be out there and start showing his talent, but I'm willing to give him an offseason in the program before I call him a bust. I mean, come on. Fred has been underperforming on this show for years, and he hasn't been called a bust yet.
Well, and he's our boss.
That's not necessarily true.
Fred, why are people writing in these kinds of things?
Because you guys are...
No. Wait, you guys, it's this idiot over here. Remember, come on.
The disappointing part is that they move up in the second round to get him, and maybe they missed on the character thing, or maybe they sort of overlooked the character thing
it. No, and I think you're right. Here's what happened: went to the combine, set the world on fire, top 15 pick. Then all of a sudden, he falls to the second round. You know why? People talk to him. That's the only explanation it could be. So the Patriots saw him slipping, said this guy's got a lot of physical ability. We'll trade up. We're out of the Javon Walker sweepstakes. We'll trade up. We'll get him. We'll get him in here. We'll get him in our system. It'll work out. So far, it hasn't.
But why didn't they get the reaction all the other teams did when they talked to
him? They did. I'm saying.
You just think they said value second round versus first round?
When he got to that point, the Patriots said, you know what, now he's too good.
Well, that's what they do. They don't do that in the first round. They make sure that those first rounders have got good character.
Right.
And then they take that chance in the second round is what they do because the money's not as prohibitive. It's less of an investment. What was I just going to say? I did have something kind
Girl
of
for Tom Brady?
No.
Okay.
Good stuff.
But, you know, what about the injuries, though, for Jackson? I mean, are we saying that those aren't legit injuries?
No, I'm not saying that, but he was active for 10 weeks or whatever and did nothing.
Yeah.
He had a chance to make a big play, a big catch, and he didn't do it.
And the other thing about receivers is most of them that don't make a big impact their rookie year, they play. They're out there. They're doing something.
Holmes is the perfect example this year.
That's starting to come on a little bit.
That is the perfect one because even from the start of the season, he wasn't making any more catches than Chad Jackson was, but he was out there all the time.
Right.
You saw him.
And now he's making a little bit of an impact.
Even the Chad Jackson, you know, the Chad Jackson draft pick, it goes back to when everyone, they get to draft, and Bill says we draft, you know, the best available player, and, you know, you get on your radio shows, Paul, and all those people parrot the same thing. This guy's only going to draft the best thing. They never draft from need.
I've never said that.
I didn't say you did.
Okay. Well, you did.
Actually, you did say you get on your radio shows.
I'm talking about the cacophony of pom-pom waivers. Look at their... I mean, Chad Jackson, that should end the discussion right there. They always draft for need. They trade up for need. And maybe they reached, maybe they you know, because they did, they were so interested in need, they took a player they normally wouldn't take.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Need affects his value on the board.
I'll give you an example of the ultimate need pick. It's Ty Warren.
Sure.
Dan Fico.
You're going to try to tell me... Now, just because it turned out to be a great pick and the guy is emerging as one of the key players on that defense and has played at a Pro Bowl level, doesn't mean it wasn't a need pick. Those defensive linemen were falling off the board in 2003, like, what was it, 7 of the first 13 picks, something like that?
Yeah,
6 They traded up a spot because they were afraid they were going to miss out on one, and they had to have one, and they drafted him. That's a need pick. Now, just because he could play, too, doesn't mean it wasn't a need pick. And I agree with Needle Nose on that
I think the other thing that gets swept under the rug on some of those radio shows and things you talk about and all the fans is everybody says a Patriot-type player, so he works hard and football is important. How many times have we seen him fall in love with a guy who runs the fastest 40 and has the biggest muscles and has the highest Ben Watson, Bethel Johnson, Chad? They fall in love with numbers just like at times every other team and every other coach does. Chad Jackson, in terms of all those measurables, is off the freaking charts. It's why I said he was going to be a Pro Bowler by the end of his second season and why I couldn't have been more wrong.
And by the end of his second practice, you would decide he
couldn't cut ties, which I'm able to do, and it doesn't cost me any money.
Second, for all that speed he had on the Indianapolis turf, it doesn't look like he
doesn't have it on the field.
Second practice of training camp or of that mini camp?
I don't know, but it was early on.
Oh, we loved him in
that spring mini camp. He was great.
Oh, we loved him.
I did. Oh, me too.
Yeah,
I was
writing all kinds of sonnets on the website about Chad Jackson.
He was running sideways. You know, he was actually running routes, and I haven't seen him run route since he's gotten here.
He was tremendous in those camps and catching the ball with such strong hands
tremendous
over the middle,
hands
grabbing
awesome
the ball.
Awesome,
hands. Saving him for the playoffs.
I hope so. See, that's what I can already know how this one. You know, Fred already knows how it's written. He's going to make like a big, like Bethel Johnson that in his rookie year did nothing basically the whole year except for return kicks.
Right.
And then he caught a big bomb against Tennessee and went, see, you guys were ripping this guy. Chad Jackson's going to make a play somewhere in the playoffs and everybody's going to tell us how we were beating up the poor kid all year. He was hurt.
And Felge, you asked Fred and he lied to you when you asked him if he was done, if they were done. He's ordered a new tailored suit that he hopes to be here in a couple weeks, but he told us we might not get the chance to see it because there won't be any more road trips. Which, if you do the math, means he doesn't think they're going anywhere in January.
Also, at the end of the game in Miami, we were sitting on the bus, and he said, well, I guess we got to get our draft shows ready.
Joking. Joking. It's just a joke. I make one joke.
I
can't live it down.
I kid.
It's a number of jokes.
That's enough from you.
You're on thin ice.
But the crazy thing is, they're not playing well. We all know what you're supposed to look like at this time of year, and they don't look like it.
Not even close.
I have no confidence whatsoever.
I don't.
Right,
but still, you look.
It could change.
You look
it
at Baltimore. I mean, you do look at the competition and say,
that's my redeeming. You know, see, I'm going to disagree with you because I just saw Baltimore go on the road and beat Kansas City up pretty good. So to me, that tells me that, hey, they're playing some pretty good ball. Because if the Patriots went to Kansas City, they get killed.
And I think that argument held water like 3 weeks ago. Really did. But San Diego and Baltimore, to me, have said, we're elite. You're
San
not.
Diego I think, got a lead on Denver. Denver came back. Then they said, hey, that's enough of you.
It's December, and they're doing what good teams do in December, turning it on. And
Felge,
everybody
I look
else
at
isn't.
It as
yeah, you're right.
If
you're
one
right.
of these teams plays to its level, okay, let's just say the whole all things being equal, no turnovers in the game, right. I don't think they beat Baltimore, and I don't think they beat San Diego.
No.
And I never used to say that. I used to be the opposite. Fred, every week we would make our picks on Friday, and I'd say, well, you know, I think Tennessee's pretty good. I think Jeff Fish is a good coach. I think they can win, but I think all things being equal, the Patriots win. That's how I always felt it. And now I don't feel like that against some teams.
You haven't seen Maroney as the number one back.
And that play that Chad Jackson will make.
He's always
at a loss.
He's always got something.
I'm at a rare loss for words for me, but I'm at a loss.
He's all never out of bullets.
Well, with that, we'll end the show. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Unbelievable. And I get dirty looks.
After a Patriots win against the Texans. Goodbye.